calling. I'm calling my wife now.
Hello.
Is that your son?
Yeah, it's my son.
Oh, maybe he's gonna be a little nicer to me today.
Hi, Leah.
Hi, sweetheart. How are you?
Fine. And yourself?
Wow.
Hey, come on, Bart.
Why do you hate me so much?
I don't hate you.
Didn't you like me on Saved by the Bell?
You are a goddess. I love you.
Oh, that's condescending.
Oh, come on, he's my son. What do you expect?
The Don and Mike Show. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara Show. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara Show.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Mr. Son of a Beat.
Hey, everybody. You got the Don and Mike Show. Coming to you live. 4 hours every weekday. From the studios of WJFK, Washington, D.C. Broadcasting nationwide and coast to coast.
Coming to you with millions of watts of mega power via the Westwood One radio network, and also powered by Rob. Where's the PTAA? For goodness sake, I told you the show barely got on the air today.
What's going on today? What's all the pandemonium?
You know, the problem is that
what?
Lisa's having, well, they say it's an emergency, and I believe it's an abortion.
Oh, stop.
Lisa is not here today. She's, as I mentioned, having an abortion.
Oh, stop.
And, a lot of the little stuff, yeah, that's Rob's baby.
Rob's the father.
And a lot of the stuff that she does, like getting the studio ready, that stuff has not been done today because, as I mentioned, Lisa's having an abortion today.
God.
So we're barely on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are. are, powered by, there we go, we got it hooked up again, the PTAA, Don and Mike Show, coming to you from our lead station, WJFK-FM in Washington, D.C. Also heard around the country, cities such as KJLL in Tucson, Arizona.
Yeah, that's a new one.
WORC in Worcester, Massachusetts.
That's an old one.
KFH, Wichita, Kansas.
That's been there a while,
too.
Always
got to mention good old WNEW in New York City.
Right.
So that's the show. Hello. Welcome, everybody. Tomorrow on the show, we're having a talent show.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
And we have seven acts lined up thus far.
Good.
Our phone lines are open, 877-365-3636. If you want to call in and tell us what your talent is for tomorrow's show, when we're giving away a $1,500 shopping spree to the Sharper Image.
Good.
Tomorrow we have Byron the Magician.
Yay!
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I hope he wears his tuxedo.
Mike, who's going to be doing a tug of war with his ass.
Yeah, he's got a towel in there, and I think he's going to ask someone to pull it out. We have to select the special someone that gets to be at the other end.
Well, if Lisa's back from her abortion, I believe she's the winner. Matt, who can fart out of his eyes.
Yeah, I remember that. We accepted him yesterday.
We have not one but two women who are going to nurse themselves.
Ah.
We have Wendy and Cindy.
Looking forward to that.
Also, we have Mike, who can make smoke come out of his eyes. And Tommy, who is the modern-day Mr. Methane.
Ah, Mr. Yeah, he auditioned for us and sounded legit.
Right, because he can fart on command, he can fart songs, so we'll bring him in and let him see what he can do.
Good.
If you've got something better, you should call us.
Yeah.
Now, if you want Lisa to screen your call, you're going to have to call the abortion clinic. She's, as I mentioned, not here today.
Mm-hmm.
I hope someone's answering the phones. Incidentally, Broyhill seems to be out of whatever funk it is.
Well, that's good.
Coincidentally, the same day that Lisa's not here because she's having an abortion is the day that Charlie Broyhill's in a good mood.
Oh. Knows what's going on.
But he's in a better mood.
Good.
I don't know why he's not answering the telephones, perhaps. I'm sure he'll come in at some point and, you know, just tell us to F.O. that he's doing something very important.
Right.
So that he can't answer the telephones.
Right.
But, Charlie, let me save you the trouble. Before you come in and give us a flip response, maybe just your shirt could answer the telephone today. His red, white, and blue shirt that he has on.
He's wearing his very patriotic rugby shirt today.
He sure is. Okay, so listen. A lot of people have asked me today, who won the debate last night?
Well, it's obvious who won the debate last night.
And, well, I told you. I told you what people in the good old liberal media would say. In the liberal media.
I was amazed at how restrained the, you know, I'm biased, of course, but I was amazed at how restrained. You know what? Whether you're for Bush or for Gore, I'll tell you the people I have no respect for. And I just can't. These great masses of undecided people they put on TV, the great idiots that are glorified because they're so stupid they can't form an opinion yet, you know, even though these guys aren't going to change between now and the election. I mean, everything's on the table as far as platforms, policies, but you get these people, you know, on both sides that have been swayed to both sides that are sitting there just going, I thought that...
Listen, here's my thought. Frankly, both those guys are boring as hell.
Yep.
Neither one of those guys said anything that was even worth us taping and playing back on the show today.
I give you that. You're right about that.
But I think the real mook in all of it was that dope, that doughy PBS guy.
He's taking a lot of heat today. Yeah.
Who's the moderator?
Jim Lehrer.
Yes, that's right. Jim Lehrer, who should be out buying his casket, for goodness sakes. The guy who was practically dead last night.
Yes, Matt, did you tape it, get a chance to watch it?
Yeah, I saw it. I saw it. And when you're the moderator, your job as the moderator is to tell one guy when it's time to shut up and time for the other guy to step up and start talking.
You know, it seemed to me that they made the rules real clear at the very beginning and then
didn't enforce them.
I mean, 15 minutes into the debate, the rules were gone. I mean, there was absolutely no telling who was going to answer the question first and who was going to rebut.
Like, it was like throwing up a basketball for a jump.
One time you would have the question answered, then the rebuttal, then a rebuttal to the rebuttal, then a rebuttal to the rebuttal to the rebuttal.
And meanwhile, this guy Jim Lehrer just sitting there with his thumb up his ass, you know, enjoying the fact that he's finally on a channel that people are actually going to watch him on.
The only thing he did is that I think he was balanced in doing it. I mean, I don't think either one, well, they say that Gore, you know, spoke a lot. As far as if he did word for word, he probably beat
60-40.
You know, 60-40, some 2-1. It, you know, he did it on both sides, but it was... when they set up a format, I'm kind of looking at it, okay, one guy's going to speak here, then the other guy's going to speak here, and, yeah.
Now, that's what happens if you have a pussy running a debate, and you have two pussies taking part in the debate. Listen, no one's going to change their mind on who they're going to vote on based on what those two schmucks had to say last night.
Well, I totally distrust this this group they call Undecided. I think, I'll tell you one thing, and it was for Bush. There were these three people they interviewed right after
Bush
on ABC, and I swear to God, I said, this is not, this is a scam. This is not, there were a couple of people, they weren't undecided. They weren't. They were just saying they were undecided so they can get on TV.
Well, listen, either way, neither one of those guys really said anything. If you're one of the people who doesn't know who you're going to vote for already, nothing that either one of those idiots said last night is going to sway you one way or the other. At some point, and Buzz, when is the next TV show these guys are doing?
Oh, a week from last night, next week. The only thing I'll tell you, and I have to say this or I won't be able to approach it with a clear conscience. I think one candidate demonstrated a knowledge of the issues and another one didn't. I thought that Gore had a knowledge of the issues.
Bush had a knowledge of the issues. Please, come on. Let's turn this into a dumb political show.
I don't. I'm just saying that's what I thought. It proves the point that nobody's mind was changed by last night's debate.
No, absolutely not.
Right.
I thought there were quite a few times that Bush made Gore look like a dope. Really made him look like a dope.
Like when?
Well, like when they were talking about the fires. Do you know that Gore really didn't go out there to those fires? That Gore sent, it would be like me saying, hey, I'm really concerned about those fires out in Texas. That's why I went.
You mean with the director of FEMA when he went down to Texas?
When really I just sent Rob Bay.
You mean when he went down to, but he went down to Texas with the FEMA director?
No, he didn't. Not for those fires. And he was on TV today covering his ass about that. He was on TV this morning.
Both candidates, though, said things that weren't exactly accurate or true last night.
They actually, the spin control doctors from both sides, immediately after the debate, We're out there putting the untruths out there and the vague comments, and that both sides were putting it on their websites.
Well, listen, I think my guy won. You think your guy won, but I'm telling you, I can say this even though you know which guy I'm backing. I think both those guys suck. I think that neither one of them did anything last night to really step out. I mean, if this is the biggest job in the world and you have a national stage, you know, come out and unzip your pants. Come out and do something.
Well, see, I think it's one guy. You know, they said that obviously that Gore was the favorite going into the debate, and he, you know, the people that thought he was.
Yeah, of course they said that, Mike.
Don, you are on the air, sir.
You know.
And I think that the majority of polls, 3 out of 4 polls today, said he won the debate.
Well, who cares what Pollock say? You know, what do the Italians say?
The thing about it, I think that what he had to do was kind of like not appear petty and appear, as a lot of people said, presidential. I thought he looked presidential.
Yeah, a real presidential. He looked like he said that. I'll tell you what he looked like. He looked like that at Disney World when you go to the Hall of Presidents and you see those guys that are made of plaster.
I'll take that. Yeah. I'll accept that.
And furthermore, I got another thing for Gore. Nice. You know, we all know that you kissed your wife during the convention.
Yes.
When you come up on stage, and listen to me now, this I really mean.
Who do you think at the very end, after it was all over, who do you think looked more satisfied? I think Gore looked more satisfied at the end.
Well, I think it's the same look that Gore has after he's had a bowel movement. You know, I don't think there's a lot of change in the face of Al Gore. I think that's pretty much what you see. You could say to Al Gore, you just had a great BM. You could say, you've just been rear-ended by a fire truck.
Right.
You know, you could say Tipper's hair is on fire, and pretty much
same reaction.
That's what you'd get.
Okay. All right.
But what I didn't like about Gore, my nitpicky thing, is when he comes out at the beginning, like he's on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, when he comes out and he says, hey, I want to say hi to everybody in my family. I want to say hi to my wife, and I want to say hi to my daughter, and then he does a little dating game kiss that, mwah!
Yeah, you can't fault the guy for giving props to his homies.
No, come on. You're wasting your time on television. Both of those guys...
How about when Bush asked what the question was? Did you see that part? When he said that? When he actually said... He looked at the... he has that kind of... That kind of look that he gets, and then he said, what's the question? And then he covered it by saying, you know, I don't think he answered the question properly.
The question was, how would you handle a crisis? And Gore's answer was a little on the lame side.
Yeah, it was very vague. It was evasive, and I agree that it was evasive.
And then they went to Bush, and he said, what was the question again?
Well, did you ever think that maybe my man, GW, maybe he had knocked back a few before? You know, we've all seen the videotape of GW bomb at that party. Every chance in the world that he had had a couple of those little airline bottles before he went out there last night. Listen, I'm not so in love with the guy that I won't say that I think.
I know that deep within you, the right is on your side. I know that deep down inside that you're you're doing this whole thing. I think it's a scam. I think it's a total scam.
You'll find out on November. What is the date?
First Tuesday 11th. In November.
11th.
November 11th.
The election's on the 10th. You'll tell us that day.
You'll find out then.
You mean find out who wins?
No, you'll find out who I voted for, and you'll find out that I've won our bet, and that my man, the B-man, is the big winner.
The 7th. November 7th.
November 7th. Well, thanks for telling me, Buzz. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't have voted this year. Would have gone on the wrong day.
Well, it was fun, except it was a disappointment.
It was boring.
It was fun leading up to it, but I'd like to see more of a free-for-all.
I really would. Mm-hmm. I really would.
You might in the next one.
I'd like to see those guys. No, you won't, because they're both, both of them, and I mean this equally across party lines, they're both giant pussies. They're both afraid of saying something that's going to be interpreted the wrong way.
I'll tell you one thing, and I'm a lifelong Democrat, but I saw John McCain interviewed this morning, and I'll tell you, I just...
How you doing, Johnny?
I really kind of wish he was in the fray. I mean, I think it would have been more of a... spirited debate, if he was involved. It's just, he's kind of a guy that I think would shoot from the hip a little.
Master debater.
But either way, it's boring as hell. And next time, give me a better host. I mean, for God's sakes, call and find out if Tom Bergeron is available. Or...
And put him in squares.
Yeah.
Put him in like the Hollywood squares.
I'll take Tom Delaney to block. And of course, Newt Gingrich would have to be the middle one.
You mean Tom Delaney?
Yeah, who did I say?
Tom Delaney.
Okay. Well, you know who I meant—the guy with the
the pit bull.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, have Tom Delaney,
the whip or whatever the hell that is.
I'll take Daniel Patrick Moynihan. Circle gets the square.
Just give us a better show. I mean,
it's not going to happen.
For those of you in New York who, thank God, got to watch the Yankees game, and thank God,
I'm happy about that.
And thank God, the Yankees suck too. But thank God that DirecTV still offers the East and West Coast feeds of NBC from WNBC.
Right.
So that for those of us in areas like D.C. where we couldn't get the baseball game,
right,
we actually could get the baseball game.
Yes, that was and it was a good game too. Pretty good. I mean, not for the Yankees, obviously, but it was a close game.
But Jesus, I'd rather watch that any day of the week. I'd rather watch the WLBA than watch another one of those boring ass debates.
What I like watching when I'm, I'm kind of a political junkie when I'm watching that stuff. I'm really. Every debate, every political event that happens, I'm getting further and further away from the networks, and I'm getting more towards C-SPAN, because C-SPAN just sits there with a camera, and you see it before anybody gets there. You see it when the guy walks up with his papers, and he's talking informally, and I saw him when he brings in the wives and introduces them, and he goes, now just sit down, I'll be back with you, and go ahead. Talk amongst yourselves, and you hear the murmur, and it's just, you get more real stuff. They had a couple of camera shots where they show a side view of the lecterns, and you could see backstage to people milling around, and I was kind of looking back there to see if I saw either one of the candidates. And say, the networks are just so, between the anchormen going, okay, saw the debate, and it's really horrible.
Turn it over to Vince McMahon. Turn it over to a guy who knows how to put on a freaking show. Give us a real host, and for God's sake,
A fist fight between those two.
they'd
be pretty evenly matched, I think.
I'm not even opposed to some type of an intelligence quiz. Make it like a game show.
You don't
want
to do that.
If you want...
You really don't want to do that.
Oh, right. Yeah, because your man is so scary smart.
Yeah, I believe so.
Right. Listen, I want to say something. Lots of dumb guys went to Harvard, okay? Tommy Lee Jones went to Harvard, okay?
Tommy Lee Jones is a brilliant guy.
Oh, brilliant.
How come
he hasn't cured his acne?
Can't do anything about that. I think if you gave Tommy Lee Jones an IQ test, he'd be off the charts.
And what I'm saying is, you come up with some type of quiz.
George Bush went to Yale.
You say to these guys, yeah, lots of dumb guys went to Yale. You say to these guys, you want a minute to talk about whatever you want? Bingo, here's the question right here. Who played Lily Munster?
First guy to buzz in gets 30 seconds of airtime.
I think TV trivia should definitely be included in every presidential litmus test.
If that's the case, I want you to serve in my cabinet.
Rob.
You got it, Rob.
President Spiewak.
Okay. Well, listen, enough. It's just, they suck.
Yeah.
And I hear, I can hear radios across the country being turned off because we're actually discussing the debate. We should just wait until the day of the, or the day after the election.
Day after the election, our post-election analysis.
When one of us will have to take Tom Gavin out to lunch in a public place.
Mm. It's the day after that we do that?
Well, no, I mean.
No, it's that weekend.
That's the day it'll be decided.
Yeah, it's a lunch date with Tom Gavin.
A lunch date with Tommy. Now some phone calls, please, for the love of God. Somebody change the topic. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys.
Hey, buddy.
Can I just tell you one little story about the debate? I know you want to be done with it, but Al Gore was telling the story about the schoolgirl who couldn't sit down in her classroom. And apparently, do you remember that story?
Yeah.
And apparently the principal is calling the news media, and he's just irate because it's a complete lie.
Okay.
So.
Thank you. See, this is where this turns like into the Rush Limbaugh
show. I know it turns into, but
no,
but,
honey, no. Come on, listen.
Both candidates said things that weren't true.
Please, you know they should both just take their shirts off,
fight,
duke it out.
I'd love to see
give
that.
Us a real show
because I'd like to see which one, because they both appear to be for their ages relatively
in decent shape,
physically fit guys. I think it might be it'd be a hell of a fight.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don.
Hi, yes, we are. Hi there.
Hey, I wanted to tell you about the debate, what I heard about what each candidate had to have before they'd even go on the debate.
What's that?
Al Gore said he had to have the whole auditorium at 51 degrees or he would not go on.
No, that's not true.
And I also heard that George Bush had to have his podium 4 inches shorter.
No, what they did was they negotiated all those things before the debate. The podium height was negotiated and the temperature
okay,
was
hello.
Negotiated.
Okay, hello. Hold on.
What?
All of this is just boring. Please.
I'm just telling the truth.
Please.
I know it's boring to you. It's not boring to me, and I was just answering your question.
No. Please, take yourself out of it for a second.
I am taking
we've
I'm
already
answering
spent,
your question.
We've already spent 20 minutes. I'm telling you now that I consider us continuing down this topic to be radio poison.
Okay. All right.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
And if people are going to want to continue to call with this stuff, and I know you're a political junkie that you just want to set the record straight, I'm just, it's no one's going to listen to this crap on our show.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you and I want to offer our opinion,
right,
that's fine. But if people want to call and talk about it on the radio, call one of the 8 zillion other dumb...
Don, you are on the air, sir.
Call one of those dumb shows. Please. It's just, it's bad.
Okay.
I just got a gut feeling about it.
Mm-hmm.
That because then we get serious, and then we argue, and then it ain't good.
Well, it is, you will admit it is kind of, a lot of people are talking about it today. It's, a lot of people watched the debate last night, and a lot of people are talking about it.
And really, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. In my gut, I think most people were bored out of their freaking minds.
I think they were, too.
And I think the majority of people in this country, again, will not vote in this election.
Mm-hmm.
So really, if you want to go on really what the majority says...
Right.
We probably shouldn't even be talking about it.
Well, what I'm not going to do with a call like that, since we take a call and somebody wants to talk about it, I'm not going to have a person call in and say two things that aren't true and just sit there and go, okay.
But listen, though, who cares? If Gore wants
it's not a question of caring.
If Gore wants it at 51 degrees or if Bush wants his podium higher, who cares?
Well, I wasn't arguing that. What I was saying was everything about that debate, temperature, podium height, was negotiated painstakingly right before the debate. That's all I was going to say.
Okay.
Okay. Who cares?
That's all I'm saying.
I care.
Okay, but I care on a political show.
Okay. I'll see if I can get on a political show. My only point about that, as far as boring and stuff, I think the majority of the country did feel that way, was very bored by the debates. A lot of people didn't even tune into the debates, and I agree with you completely. If we go down the political road that, I'm just saying when somebody calls in who doesn't have the facts right, if we're going to take the call, either I'll just shut up
But people call all the time and they have facts that aren't correct.
And usually we correct them.
No, but a lot of times, especially if it's something we don't care about,
right?
We just...
Exactly. And I did care about it, and that's why I corrected her fact. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you understand what I'm saying?
I know you don't care.
You understand what I'm saying, though?
I don't care.
Right, and because you don't care, that's why you're getting upset. And I'm saying, since we took the call, and since I knew it, and since I cared about it, I just corrected it, now we can move on. If we don't take any more calls about the debate, I'm fine with that.
But even though it's an item that I don't care about, will you at least admit that it is an insignificant item?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. It's very trivial.
That's okay, that was my only point.
Yeah, sure. I knew the fact is that, you know, I was just listening to analysis before the debate when they were talking about all the things, and I thought it was pretty funny that they actually had two groups of people in a room going down to, like, these nitpicky details.
Now, that I agree with. It's like a Van Halen concert.
Oh, it was. Right.
Van Halen says we got to have this kind of water, and we can't have green M&Ms.
Two camps, any way you slice it, these two camps do not like each other. Like, I'm sure, you know, presidential candidates, opposing candidates never like each other, but I think it's real. I mean, all the negotiations about these debates have been, they're saying, more painstaking than any other debates beforehand.
But I'd just like to point out one last thing on this topic.
Yes.
That if either of those two gigantic pussies running for office gave you a debate half as spirited as what Mike and I just gave you over that last phone call, people would be riveted.
But I also think we took the high road on that debate. I think we've been taking the high road the entire time. I think it's been a very highbrow debate, but it's been no less spirited, you know?
Yeah. Yes, Robbie.
What a lot of people don't know is that before the show, you two guys met and argued about what temperature the studio should be and how high the microphone should be before that, and I think
I argued about where I was going to put my feet.
I thought it was great, and I think that's really cool.
But I also want you to know, I do hold back. I swear, I try real hard.
I know you do.
I try so hard.
I know you do, because you know, I know you could go off on it.
I know, because it is my, I sit there, I was watching it from 8 o'clock. I got home, turned it on, and watched it, and I'm into it. I've always been into it.
Jesus Christ. give me Dark Angel any day of the week, man. I'll be like, Rob, I'll watch the goddamn Facts of Life on Nick at Night before I know, I'll watch another political show. Jesus. Two stiffs talking to each other. A giant, big, round Play-Doh man in the middle. But doesn't have the balls to tell either one of them, listen, you shut up now and you talk now.
He got a lot of heat for that. He got a lot of heat for not doing that. I agree with you on that. I think he should have said, you know what? I think it should have been handled like when the 2 minutes is up, you hear him down at the podium go, hey! Okay.
Or you get one of these.
Yeah. Like that. Like a big one, like deafening.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like a game show.
Okay.
Enough. Please, enough. How you doing? H-Y-double-D. How you doing, dudes? How you doing, darlings? How you doing?
Okay. Okay, what else are we going to talk about the debate?
Oh, we're not going to talk about the debate. We're not talking about the debate anymore on today's show. No more. Not until Buzz has the news tonight.
Right.
And then that's an appropriate time. If during the news, Buzz wants to stir this up again.
I'm not going
to
be saying anything about it. I won't say anything about it.
I really think what I said,
that's radio poison.
Mm-hmm. And it has nothing to do with which guy wins.
Yeah, I'd argue with you if I thought it was worth arguing. I don't think, I don't disagree with you. I really do think that if we made this, I listen to political shows. I don't like political. I don't like political TV shows. I think I'm also in the minority where I like the real stuff. Like, I like election results coverage. I like watching the real stuff, watching the debates. I do. You know that I go home and I watch it all night long.
I like seeing girls suck their own nipples.
I like that, too.
That's what I like.
I'm a Renaissance man.
And I guess I'm just a slob. Because I like a guy who can fart out of his eyes.
I like that too, though. See? And you like a lot of things. You have varied interests too. It's just one of them happens not to be political. That's okay.
Politics bore me. You know, really.
I always have. Ever since I've known you, I know you're not into it, and that's fine.
Because really, I mean, all BS aside,
right?
No matter which one of these schmucks gets elected president, nothing's changing. Nothing's gonna change. Everything stays the same. Go ahead.
No, I'm not doing it. Because then you're going to get me political. I disagree with that.
Oh, right. Yeah, because one of these guys is going to wave a magic wand and suddenly everything in America is going to be fixed. Please,
no, I don't think of that. I don't think that either.
Puppets, figureheads, they're...
I wasn't allowed to answer the question.
They're TV personalities.
I do think. I see, that's why I'm into it, because I do take it serious. I do think it has a bearing on the...
Mike likes dreaming.
I feel like Jim Lehrer.
Dreaming can make him feel nice.
Yeah, it's important.
Mike likes dreaming.
Future of the country.
And I think it's a bunch of shaved ice.
Just junk. Please.
Listen, we've been around. We've been working together since Reagan. Who's after Reagan?
Bush.
Then Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Things changed in the 15 years.
Were we working together with Carter?
No.
We're just after Carter.
Just after Carter. So we've been working together through three going on four different administrations.
Mm-hmm. And progressively... we've been disrespected by each progressive administration.
We have.
Back with Reagan, and I'm a Democrat, but back with Reagan, we got invited to that Easter egg roll.
Now, Reagan, dude, he kissed our asses.
Yeah.
Do you know that Frida has boxes and boxes of stuff that she's trying to clean our house, and she was going through a box of stuff from 1985,
mm-hmm.
and she came across a bunch of stuff that was addressed to me, and maybe you got copies of the same from the White House that was sent to us at our old radio station. And it was one day we were talking about something at a press conference. What happened at this press conference? Well, the people from the White House sent us pictures
mm-hmm.
of the press conference. The people from the White House corresponded with us all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we hated Reagan. We did.
We used to like, but I'll tell you, I enjoyed at least getting invited to that Easter egg roll. I mean, to me, it was fun. We went down there. I tell you, one of the funniest days is when you were signing the Easter eggs. You know, I mean, it was fun.
So I was signing with fake names.
And made me laugh out loud. But, I mean, it was nice to be part of that. And then
no.
I think in the Bush administration, the invite stopped coming.
Yeah, and then...
There's a weird name for the lady, though. Wasn't it one term... I think Bush, in the first year, may have invited us to the Easter egg roll, but I might be wrong about that, because she had a weird name. She had, like, a cookie or stuff. You remember that? The
no.
name of the PR director had a
You'd
weird
name. You remember more than me.
Because I'm into that.
But really, in the 15 years we've been working together, really, from Reagan to now, what's changed? We got the internet. Those dicks had nothing to do with that.
The economic collapse in the 1980s.
Please, the things that have happened would happen.
I love you getting mad.
The things that have happened would happen if Rob Spiewak was president. You know, really, and I mean this. Do you think Clinton had anything to do with the fact that the country's had this turnaround?
Yes.
No, hell no.
Absolutely.
And I say that as
someone
who's voted for Clinton.
Oh, no, I really do.
The guy is a friggin' figurehead.
I think he's, a lot of the situations that we have, the prosperity is due in large part to
the guy couldn't
policies.
Fill out,
absolutely.
The guy couldn't fill out a spreadsheet to save his life.
I think he's been a good, effective president, regardless of his wandering Johnson.
I don't doubt that he's been a good president. I don't give a rat's ass about Monica Lewinsky,
right.
But I'm saying... And I mean, you could have Bobcat Goldthwait as president for the last 8 years, and things would be just as great today as they were then.
Well, I don't think President Goldthwait would be a good president at all.
Well,
I don't think President Goldthwait, I think we'd be in a disaster right now. I don't think the Soviet Union would have fallen apart if you had President Goldthwait in there.
Instead of
President Reagan.
I mean, that is the most overrated job in America. President of the United States. BFD. BFD. Talk about a job where you're on autopilot. Jesus, remember I was talking about airline pilots
mm-hmm.
and how all they have to do is go up and basically the planes fly themselves?
That's another argument we had when I was talking about how I thought it's good that they get paid the money that they get.
But, okay, I'll give you this. The airline pilots, they deserve the money.
Oh, good. All right, well, you've changed your policy.
As opposed to the president.
This could be a real debate. So on August 3rd, you said, I remember distinctly, you said BFD about the airline pilots. They don't deserve the money.
Well, I said BFD about that BFD. And it doesn't really... The reason I really get pissed at all this is because no matter if your guy wins or my guy wins, you know what? Things are going to be fine for me. You know when things are not going to be fine for me? And really, that's how we all look at it. You know, we can talk the good game about we care about everybody, but listen, you care about yourselves.
No, I don't. I don't look at it that way.
Well, I do.
I mean, really, if I was thinking about myself, I would think, you know, in a lot of different ways, probably. If I was thinking, I like, you know, I really do have strong convictions about that type of thing. I don't see you
going out and joining the Peace Corps.
No. But I'm into my political choices. I don't think you have to go out and join
the... you're idealistic enough to believe that the one party's different than the other.
Yeah.
They're no different. Really. It's like choose between MTV and VH1. You know, one runs game shows and the other one runs where are they now?
Then I'd welcome you to come over to our side then if it doesn't mean a hill of beans.
Well, no. Listen, Lieberman pissed me off. That's a personal affront.
It's the personal affront.
It's the personal affront is the reason that I've changed. Really? You know, I mean, things will be fine for me no matter who's the president. As long as we don't do something dumb like invade Russia and get into a war.
I think when you're in a situation, you got a president of the United States who has to deal with a crisis situation. This is one of the things that came up at the debate last night. You want to have, you know, who, in your opinion, is most qualified for the job. From that standpoint, you know, if you do have a Bobcat Goldthwait in there or you have a guy that's completely incompetent, when there is a real crisis, like, say, the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Oh, come on, ancient history.
But I'm using history because that's all we have to rely on.
Okay, use the recent history. 15 years.
I'll use George Bush.
The Gulf
when
War.
It was the Persian Gulf War.
The made-up war.
It's good to have.
The made-up war where we just saw a videotape where nothing happened to us miraculously, but we killed everybody.
If there is a situation, and who knows what it could be. I mean, you know, with the climate nowadays, with terrorism and nuclear weapons around the country, if there's a situation... Wait a minute, let me finish.
Nothing's going
to
happen.
If there is a situation where there's a crisis, I think it's important to have a qualified person in the job of President of the United States. Guy that has the ability, more importantly,
it doesn't matter, you put Dave,
to surround himself with people that are qualified also. And I think that's important.
You put Dave Chappelle in there. You could put John Stamos as president.
That's the best, yes. President Stamos is now coming into the briefing room.
Bob Saget. Bob Saget could be president for the next 8 years, and unless there's a war, everything's cool. And even if there is a war, that's why you've got those guys like Colin Powell. That's why you've got the real-life G.I. Joes with beer and hair.
Mm-hmm.
Beard and hair.
Beer and hair.
But Lisa wouldn't be able to get an abortion if George Bush was elected president and chose the Supreme Court justices that overturned
that. You know what, Buzz? That ain't going to happen either. Okay?
You don't think so? That's definitely going to happen.
No, that ain't going to happen.
Well, no, the next president is going to pick at least two Supreme Court justices.
You guys are so naive. Nothing's going to change.
Do you think those fossils are going to stay in and...
As long as they're there...
Then you got to go on age alone. And a couple of them might just be brushing their teeth one day and go, and just, you know, drop down.
The Supreme Court. I got no time to worry about the Supreme Court. You know what I worry about? I got to pay the money to goddamn Fairfax County to get the sticker on my car by tomorrow. They're going to pull me over.
Right.
I got to pay my county taxes. That's what I care about.
Yeah, no car tax, right?
That's what I care about. What, no car tax? What?
Yeah, another one of your Republican lies.
I'm just telling you.
I paid my car tax.
Listen,
let me tell you. Let me just tell everybody right now.
Republicans or Democrats, let me just say, they're all a-holes. They're all a-holes who can't really do anything.
Well, all I know is I had to pay that car tax, and it pissed me off. Because remember those signs all over Virginia?
Yes.
No car tax. No car tax. And I'm sitting there. I'm still writing the checks. After all those promises.
I'm going to come up with a list of people who could be president and could run this country. Gary Coleman comes to mind. Gary Coleman.
I think Gary Coleman might be a very effective
You person. Could pop Gary Coleman in there.
He manages his anger. What are you talking about?
You pop him in there, you got no problem. You want someone scholarly, get Adam West. Let him wear his goddamn Batman suit.
I think you ought to give a variation of this speech at the Bush rally. I think that would show real...
You know what? When I do speak...
Give the It Just Doesn't Matter speech
to the
partisan Republicans.
I'm going to when I speak.
Show courage.
I'm bringing a tape recorder when I speak for the Northern Virginia Republican...
Give a variation of the Rodney Dangerfield back to school speech.
Whatever
you know?
It is.
You're going to look out for number one, but don't step in number two.
Listen, just trust me on this. Everybody listening, they're all lying a-holes. They all are. They don't care about you. It's a goddamn beauty contest.
Please. Make up your mind and vote. That's what I think. I think everybody should vote.
Yeah,
I really do.
Good luck. Good luck on that.
I really think everybody should vote.
You want people in this country to vote? Give them a prize.
I'm saying, tell
prize is that they. I want the patriotic music. I want the patriotic music.
Oh Christ, my
prize, Don. Let me tell you about the prize.
You give people a free Big Mac and French fries, and they'll vote.
Let me tell you what the prize is.
Please.
If citizens exercise their constitutional right in this country to vote.
I just say to all you citizens about to sit through another one of Mike's boring political speeches, if they offered you a free Whopper and fries, I guarantee you'd go vote.
Let me tell you something about the prize. The prize is waking up every morning and living in a country where you have the right to choose. Freedoms that other societies and other cultures do not enjoy exist right here in the United States of America. And how do we protect those rights?
This is why I have to harness this man.
How do we protect that? We exercise our greatest right and our greatest privilege as citizens of the United States.
You give away.
To walk into that voting booth, pull the lever, and vote for the candidate of your choice, be it independent, Democrat, Republican. It doesn't matter
to me.
I
don't care. You give away
Democratic.
You give away a free Britney Spears CD like they do at McDonald's at the drive-thru window, and people will vote. You give away some Pokemon toys.
Right.
I guarantee you have 85% voter turnout.
You give away another day in this great United States of ours.
Damn.
Where we can say what we want on these wonderful airwaves.
We can't say what we want on these wonderful airwaves, and that has nothing to do with Republicans or Democrats.
That may be true. But another thing, when you walk into that voting booth, you have exercised your duty. You have fulfilled your duty. As an American citizen.
Duty.
So, this November, ladies and gentlemen, be ye Republican.
Oh, God.
Be ye Democrat.
Jesus Christ.
Be ye Libertarian.
God damn.
Be ye Nazi Quaker. It doesn't matter to me.
A Nazi Quaker?
I don't think they vote anymore. But I'll tell you right now.
Rob, are you a Nazi Quaker?
Not anymore.
He used to be.
You walk into that voting booth, and you pull that lever, and you walk out, and you say, I thank God I live in the greatest country in the United States.
You know,
I mean, in the world, not the United States.
You give me a good race to vote on, like America's Sexy Bachelor, and I'll vote for it. But you give me two dicks like these guys, I'll vote if I've got the time otherwise.
And I will say, ladies and gentlemen,
give me a prize.
I will say, finally, that I am happy to live in this country, and I love voting, and I will vote, and I will tell you right now, my gift is being an American.
I'm down.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Ah, thank you. I vote, you vote.
In rebuttal.
I never rebut your speeches.
Well, there's a little time left in the music.
Yeah, okay.
I only have 30 seconds left.
Very good.
In rebuttal, let me say, I will also vote. I know that most of you won't. And it's fine with me. Because you are the people like me who realize that all that stuff that Mike just said, that was crap that was pertinent back when, you know, Jefferson was alive, okay? We kick ass, we're number one, and we could have a monkey as our president, and we would still be the number one nation in the world. And if you want a high voter turnout, give away a prize. Thank you. And incidentally, I'm moving to the Cayman Islands.
Good night. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Thank you.
Oh, that was fun. Thank you.
Right. No, thank you.
Thank you, please.
Thank you. That's my applause.
Thank you. Oh, no, I believe they were applauding. Have that room applauding for me.
No, that's the great unwashed voting for me there. Thank you. No.
Oh, I appreciate it.
No, thank you.
Thank you. Now we're standing in front of each other, putting our hands up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No, really, thank you.
Oh, my God. You know something? I got it out of my system, though. I'm definitely purged.
Good.
I'm feeling kind of goofy right now.
Good, me too.
Definitely ready for the show to really start.
Okay, good. Yeah, I was ready about 40 minutes ago. Okay, let's clear these lines. Start today's show with a call number 100.
All right.
And a prize package selected especially for you. As you know, Lisa's
abortion
has stopped her from coming into the show today. So Charles Broyhill is manning the phones.
A happier, kinder Charles Broyhill today.
Yeah. Or maybe you're going to have the thrill of talking to Big Gum Jim McClure. Either way, you got a quality individual on the other end of the phone. 877-365-3636. Be the 100th caller right now.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hi, check 1, 2, 3, 4. Woo! Hottest bus! Hello, this is Vic Tayback, and I never listen to Don and Mike. Who is your target audience? I'd have to tell them what channel they're already listening to.
Thank you, President.
Hi, this is Bobcat Goldthwait. I'd rather die in a fiery auto wreck than listen to Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara.
President.
My personal friend.
Thank you, President Goldthwait.
President Robert Goldthwait.
For a station break. Rochester, New York, every day on WHTK. Seattle, Washington, KRKO. Greenville, South Carolina, 98.1. The Peak.
Oh, I don't have music, Rob. I'm so busy arguing with my wife, I don't have music.
And Coos Bay, Oregon. KBRR.
Time for more host chat with Don and Mike.
Let's do a call 100 right now. Hello there. Don and Mike show. Hello.
I'm caller 100.
Right? Yeah, you are. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, what's your name?
Lisa.
Lisa.
Hey, it's Lisa. Hey, how you doing, Lisa?
How you doing, Lisa?
I'm yeah, Pam and I are best friends.
Hi, Lisa, where are you calling from?
Gaithersburg.
Lisa, you are the 100th caller.
Wow.
And, Lisa, listen to this. Yeah, good, great prize number for you. You've won a sonogram.
I want to tell you, when you see the crown
of your baby's head,
that's a beautiful moment, little buddy.
Let me tell you something right now. Pam and I are best friends. Maybe we didn't communicate the way we should have on a number of subjects, and I'm as fault as much at fault as anybody else.
Thank you, Mr. Diamond.
Way to go, Lisa.
Listen, you won the fugitive... I'll tell you why we're doing this in a minute. You won the Fugitive Friday prize back.
Oh.
This is basically a big bag of CBS junk. Some of it good, some of it not so good. You won the Survivor hat.
Yeah.
The Late Night with David Letterman shirt.
Yeah.
The Fugitive fanny pack.
Woo! Wow.
Here we go with the bad stuff. The Bette Midler CD sample.
Yeah!
Rob likes it.
Courtesy of CBS. Don't miss The Fugitive Friday nights at 8 Eastern, 7 Central on CBS.
CBS.
CBS, our parent company. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Hold on a second. You know, if you're listening, Frida, right now...
What happened? Did your wife call you and try to talk some sense into you during the commercial break?
I meant what I said to you, Frida. Okay? Let's just leave it at that. If she happens to be listening, though. Of course, she's probably so mad she changed the station. You know, Jesus, just because she disagrees with me about something,
mm-hmm.
suddenly I'm an idiot. And that was the quote. That I'm an idiot.
She is, she's been on the other side of the political...
Yeah, well, here's the conversation. The conversation is, I call her up. During the break, because the time I call her every day, she's in carpool now, right?
Right,
I haven't talked to the woman for a couple hours. So I call her up, I go, hey. And right away, I get to another voice, hey. You know, I get that hey like, hey, I got the porno bill or I've done something bad, right?
Right.
And I go, what? What? And she says, I don't often say this, I agree with Mike. And I said, listen, honey, I'm doing a show. I say, you know, he could get going and be serious. I'm trying to balance things out. I'm trying to be funny. She says, yes, but at the core of it, you really believe what you said. And I said, well, yeah. And she said, you're an idiot. And I said, what, because I disagree with you? I'm an idiot? And she said, yes, you're an idiot.
So she took it to a personal level.
Yes, she did.
Hmm.
Absolutely she did.
You and I were arguing with without any personal attacks.
No, not at all.
Right. You know, we've learned to argue better than we used to. We used to, it would take us probably 3.5 seconds before the first personal volley would be.
You know,
we don't do that anymore.
Speaking from my standpoint, it would have to be an argument that I really gave a rat's ass about.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
You mean, I thought we'd like turned a corner or something. You mean, cared about?
No, we have.
Yeah, I thought we've done a lot better on it.
Yes, but this argument, I mean, if we were arguing about something serious, like
fantasy football.
You know, that's where I think we've learned mm-hmm. to turn the corner.
Right.
But this, you know, that thing we had going there, you know, that's, you know, half argument, half schtick, and, you know, just,
I actually, you know, I gotta watch myself, because as far as the radio, I think it does sound very dull. When you hear either side, and you hear political pundits, I think it can be extremely boring. You know why it's boring? Because I'll be honest with you, I've got my mind made up. Everybody knows what I'm going to say. I'm going to say the same thing everybody else said. And when you hear it on both sides, it gets infinitely boring, because you hear who was interviewed after they did the, and you know, this is a general comment about the debate. I'm not saying either side here. They had the spin doctors, the campaign managers.
Mm-hmm.
You know what they're going to say,
right.
And they sit there and they say it, and it's boring, and it's just, why go through that exercise?
Right.
I you know, really, to a certain extent,
because guys like you sit and watch it.
Yeah.
So anyway, my wife says to me, I just can't believe you're an idiot. I said, what am I an idiot about? And she says, all the stuff you said. I said, honey, I'm doing a show. She says, but yes, you really do believe that Bob Goldthwait could be president and it wouldn't make a difference. I said, that was a joke.
Of course that was a joke.
That was a joke. And she said, well, don't speak to me like that. I know what was an effing joke, and I know what's not an effing joke, and I know that at some level you really believe what you were saying, and you're an idiot. I'm like, wow. Jesus Christ, been married for 20 years. You know, honey, I got news for you. These are not new feelings that I have. Okay? It's not like I walk around the house, drape myself in the flag all the time and say, wow, man, our president, he's the best. Whether it's been Clinton or Bush or Reagan or back when I met Freda Carter. I mean, I've thought this all along about all of the dum-dums that we elect.
Has it ever come out in just idle conversation in your home?
No, because we don't talk about politics. We don't, except, you know, who'd you vote for?
Right, right.
And I guess it's never been a problem before because we always voted for the same person.
Right. So there's controversy in the House now that you're going down separate political paths. A path that you chose a few months ago.
Yes. Yeah. And I don't know, frankly, let me just get her up.
I think for the sake of your marriage, you ought to come back over to the Democratic ticket.
Oh, no way. Listen, I am pee-whipped on so many things in my life. I'm not getting pee-whipped on this.
You know, I all along I've just harbored this fantasy about you just betraying Republicans at the last second.
Hey, hola.
Hey.
Hola, how you doing?
Fine.
Okay, how was school today?
Fine.
Good. Put Mom on the phone, please.
I'm not quite sure where she is. She's somewhere in the grocery store.
Oh, come on. Are you BSing me?
No, we're in the grocery store right now.
You go to separate... you don't tag along with Mom when you're in the grocery store?
No, I have to push the cart, and she went off to some market or something.
Oh, all right. Well...
You want me to try to find her?
Yeah.
Wait there.
Yeah, try to find her.
I can't take all that long in a grocery store. I've lost my wife in the grocery store.
Yeah, I hear that. They really are in the grocery store.
Found her.
Thank you. Thanks, bud.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, CT.
Hi. So come on, say it now on the radio. Now you're on the radio.
I know I'm on the radio.
Go ahead.
I'm
an idiot.
I just said that there's not that's like one of the few times that I wish that I might not even said this. I might have just been thinking that I wish that the husband roles were reversed on the air. I mean, normally you guys are about equals in my eyes, which is good.
Jesus,
bad. Thank you.
See, listen, what a cold bitch she's become on this. I mean, really, talk about hitting below the belt, honey. We're just talking about goddamn politics.
Well, sorry. I didn't know it was below the belt to say that. I thought Mike was very intelligent, and I had a lot of respect for him.
Yeah, and didn't I tell you that I'm also trying to balance it out and trying to do a funny show? And then what did you say to that?
I said the truth. I said to Bart when we were listening, I said, you know, Daddy's going to tell me it's for the show. But the sad thing is, that's how he really thinks.
But so if that's what I think about some stuff, I think the president basically is a worthless title. Well, what's the problem with that?
There's no problem. A lot of people agree with you. I just think that's
why am I not allowed to have an opinion?
You are. It's just sad that you're my husband with that opinion. Because I expect more out of not everybody, my husband.
Please, honey, I'm the same person.
It's not very intelligent, my boo-boo.
Okay, that's subjective.
Yeah, well, that's my opinion. I didn't say that.
That's subjective, and I think that it's very bitchly and C-word-like of you to say that you would rather have Mike be your husband because he holds the same ridiculous idealistic thoughts about the presidency.
Okay, well, you know what? That's your opinion.
Okay.
All right, good. As long as we got that squared away.
All right, then we do.
All right, goodbye.
Then we do.
Well, now I feel like I've stirred this whole thing up.
Don't worry, she doesn't really want you.
I know that. Believe me, I know. From past experience,
no.
I know that's
well,
true.
You know, she just loves the opportunity. You know, that's how I know I've got her on the ropes, is that she's now gone to her Trump cards. You know,
so you're saying that's giving you the real dig.
Yeah, they say, well, you know, hey, well, guess what? I wish I was rather... I'd rather be married to Mike.
Yeah, because Mike is for my guy. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Sounds like she has a cold.
Yeah, she does. We all do, Buzz. Yeah. We all do.
Yeah.
We've all been sick for a while in my house.
Yeah.
In the germ house.
Well, now I don't know what, Jesus Christ. You know, here I was.
Don't worry about it.
Goddamn thing here. And, you know.
Don't worry about it, Mike.
When I say JC and GD in the same sentence, I just don't know. You know, I mean,
it is your opinion. You're entitled to it.
Yeah.
It is my opinion. I am entitled to it. Mm-hmm. I think no less of you because of your opinion. I'm sure you think no less of me because of mine. It's just too bad.
No, I mean,
my wife is so small-minded that she can't see the big picture.
So you guys have always been on the same page, and this is the first time you haven't been on the same page.
Yeah, I guess.
On this particular issue.
I've never articulated to her in our 20 years of being married. They think the president basically is just the guy who sits there with...
But she knows you're tweaking it up also.
Yeah, but really, to an extent, she's right. The president is worthless. That's what I think.
I don't believe you.
Well,
I do not believe you. I don't believe you for a second.
I think
you are. You may have. There may be a. I want to tell you the way I think about this.
Okay.
There may be a small bit of you that feels like the whole system is corrupt.
Yes.
And that no matter who is in office,
nothing's going to change.
You know, things go in cycles, and that's it. A lot of people feel that way.
That's exactly how I feel.
It's just when you articulate it and you say the president is worthless.
Is worthless.
That's another way of saying, I don't doubt that you feel that, you know, the whole system kind of goes on and on automatically, no matter who's in there.
Right.
But I don't think you think the president is worthless.
Yes, I do. I think that Steve Johnson could be president.
Oh, no.
Nothing would change.
Now you're gone. Now you've gone mad.
You know, Steve Johnson, our sales guy, you could make him president. Things would still be the greatest country in the world.
There's no way.
Nothing would change.
There's no, I swear to God, we'd be eating, we'd be drinking Russian vodka.
Yeah. Would that be so bad?
We'd be the seat of government with President Johnson. Steve Johnson would be the Kremlin. The Soviet Union would reformulate.
I'll tell you about Steve Johnson. He's not bright enough to be a communist. He's not bright enough to be. He's not bright enough to be on either side.
That's a horrible thought. I mean, you know, Bobcat Goldthwait. At least there was some humor value there. And you brought up, you know, sales guy Steve Johnson here. I swear to God, I'm going to wake up in the middle of the night with cold sweats.
Again, even a dope like Steve Johnson would be surrounded by people who would actually make the policy and make the thing happen.
You need a right-hand man, like a Tim McWilliams, sitting at his side, pulling all the strings. Somebody that could form the cabinet.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And, you know, for Bobcat Goldthwait, you know, maybe you get, I'm going down my list of comedians.
Tom Dreesen.
Yeah, well... Maybe someone.
You want an older, experienced comedian.
Okay. How about Buddy Hackett?
Buddy Hackett.
Oh, yeah.
Buddy Hackett, the Secretary of State.
Right. Okay. You give all those old dudes a job. Give Milton Berle a job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get your entire political outlook is done with comedians.
That'd be wonderful.
So anyway, I don't know why she takes it so goddamn seriously. But anyway, I'm still married to her, unlike Jack Diamond.
How you doing?
And his wife.
Yes, Cherie.
This is funny.
Pam and I are best friends.
So yesterday we did this thing about Jack Diamond. We told you about what a two-faced bastard he is. Well, then today, as it turns out, both Mike and I were in the car at the same time. And we heard him do the same rap today.
You know, I flicked it on, and I tried to call you. I couldn't reach you, but I'll tell you right now, it is so obvious that what we said yesterday had gotten back to him, or he had heard it himself, because he went into a whole little thing. I heard the first part, I guess, and you heard the second part.
And I heard
part.
The last part.
And this rat boy eunuch that he works with sets him up with this question. You want to hear the ultimate softball question?
Hey, Diamond. Hey, Diamond, you're going to have your fifth bye baby, or sixth baby, whatever which one it is. You're going to have a kid, is it as exciting as it is... As it was the first time, do you still get excited?
That was the question. Mm-hmm. It's like, I almost barfed right there. You know, is that the softball of, yes, you know, let me tell you something, little buddy. Pam and I are best friends.
That's the ex-wife.
Right. So he's specifically mentioning her. We may not have gotten along, you know, expressed ourselves the way we should. And that's, you know, that's as much my fault as anybody else's. But, And then I turned it off, you know.
I heard the last part.
Yeah.
Where I heard...
Let me tell you something, little buddy. Whether it's the first or the fifth, when you see the crown of the baby's head, there's nothing better than that. And I'm so happy because this weekend it's homecoming weekend, and two of my daughters are now in high school. They're going to be coming over to my house, at least in my house this weekend, because you know this will be the first time since Pam and I split.
But he's like making public this whole dysfunctional situation.
This is the first time since Pam and I split that the girls are going to be able to come over and we'll watch them get dressed and you know, have the dates come pick them up for homecoming. So we're very excited about that. Yeah, we're going for the sonogram. That's going to be an exciting time. And then he got into a whole rap about how, I know what it was. You know, so the concern at least that I have, and I'm going to have to discuss this with Pam, and of course with the five other children I've had with Pam, I'm going to have to discuss with them having a half-brother or a half-sister and bringing them into the marriage.
Yeah, thank you. Wow. Thank you very much, Yusri. So here it is for all you to see, my incredible, you know, total dysfunctional family, and talking all about it. Yes, sure. Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
So you'll think I'm a good guy, even though I'm really not a good guy because I caused this mess.
So he's saying then that the baby's crown is the most beautiful thing, regardless of whose portal is surrounding
absolutely
the baby's
crown.
Absolutely
right, Buzz. Yes, being the nice guy that he is.
I see.
Correct. You know, not to mention, like, within a year, less than that probably, of splitting with his wife, Pam, you know, he's got the other one pregnant. Mm-hmm.
And again, Jack Diamond, we'd know nothing of any of this if you didn't constantly open your big mouth on your radio show and talk about it every day.
You know, who knows where the motivation is? It could be a variety of things, all negative. Ego, guilt, you know,
I know what it was yesterday. Yesterday it had to be the ex-wife called me. Listen, Jesus, Don and Mike did 30 minutes on you yesterday, you rat bastard. Have you been talking about your new wife on the air? Is that what you've been doing?
Yeah, come on. Don't give me a hard time. We're best friends.
Well, listen, don't forget you walked out on me, you son of a bitch. You left me and four kids. I want you to get on the air today, and I want you to say that you're the reason we're not married.
And he did, but he didn't do it all the way.
Right.
I don't know the exact verbiage, but I'll tell you right now, he kind of did, but he didn't all the way. You know, he was like real limp about it.
Hey,
it was
thank
so
you.
Funny. Which, you know, the reason is probably, it's all him.
Right.
Yeah, I've met the guy.
Hey, thank you.
Hey, thanks a lot. Yes, Sheree. You know, it's so beautiful. And then the crown, you know, talking about, oh, come on, like the cliche version of the daddy in the delivery.
When you see the crown of that new baby's head, oh, man. And I think to myself, why, son or daughter, by the time you're in the seventh grade, I'll have traded your mama in on the newest model.
All right, so Mike, we have to stop this for a second because we do have an old friend on the phone.
Oh, good.
Now, I know who the old friend is.
Okay.
I won't waste your time. He is Super Bowl MVP, our buddy, Mark Rippon.
Hey, Rip.
Hey, Rip.
How you doing?
Rip.
Now, you want to talk about a good father, you got one right here.
Yes.
I'm sitting in a bar watching the Mariners game here, and some guy comes up and hands me the phone and says, I got through.
And beautiful.
He said, a celebrity sighting. I said, well, who's a celebrity?
That's fantastic.
Hey, Rip, so where are you at? Out in Idaho, wherever you live now?
Players and spectators in Spokane, Washington.
Spokane, Washington.
Players and spectators. And you're watching the game this afternoon.
Yep, I'm watching the Mariners and White Sox as we speak.
What is the score?
4-2, and the Mariners got runners on first and third.
So the Mariners are winning?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, good.
How you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing fantastic. Question is, how are you doing? How's the net? Everything cool?
Yeah, net just got surgery about 6 weeks ago.
Uh-oh, what happened, Rip? What happened?
Single, little blue single for a run score to the Mariners. I'm 5-2 now.
Mark Rippon, man, a Super Bowl MVP for your Washington Redskins.
So your family?
Bringing you the play-by-play here. Hey, now, which one of you took up hockey?
We took it up?
Yeah.
Well, I've always played hockey, Rip.
Have you really?
Yeah, I played on and off. Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. Well, when I come back here, we're going to have to, all three of us going to lace them on and get out there and...
Not a chance, Rip. I can't skate. Not a chance.
Well, neither can I, but I play in a rec league, and I'm just the worst player probably in the league. They get me on the team because they know I got money, and I'll buy beer afterwards.
There you go.
Buddy, are you still the Holiday Inn mogul of the Northwest?
Oh, yeah. A couple of those still going strong.
Well, that's fantastic. And everybody's doing well?
Doing very good, thanks, yeah.
That's good. Excellent. Well, I guess they're doing well. It's where he's at. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and he's at a bar watching a watching a game on a good-looking Wednesday.
Yeah, it is. It's beautiful. About 65 degrees, not a breath of wind, so it's a lovely day.
Now, you doing anything at all? You keeping your ties with the NFL at all or active
well,
with any?
Know, actually, I got a couple calls about being the offensive coordinator for a couple of the XFL teams, believe it or not.
Oh, really?
I don't know if I'm going to do it. I'll maybe just kind of investigate a little bit more to find out how true this thing is or not, but it sounded kind of interesting.
But Don, you were saying that you think that league's going to do okay.
Yeah, I was just talking to the guy at our New York station, and I think that NEW is going to pick up the rights for whatever the dopey team is in New York.
Absolutely. The promos look great on NBC for the XFL.
Hey, Rip.
Yeah, the guy shooting shot from a cannon with a football, that looks pretty cool.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, no fair catches either.
Nope. Yeah, nope. Everything's, they'll change a little bit, but it'll be kind of fun, so we'll see what happens.
All right, well, let us know.
How about our skins? Huh? They're starting to get it back together.
Your skins. I'm hot and cold on the skins.
You're hot and cold?
Yeah, I'm hot and cold.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, that was start of the year wasn't too well. The last couple of games have been a little bit better anyway.
Well, it goes without saying it's not the same as when you were in.
No, no one does anything together anymore, you know?
Yeah, it's different. Well, it's a lot different.
You go to practice, you go home, you come to a game, you go home. That's about it.
So what are you surrounded by lungheads in this bar, Rip?
Well, my best buddy, so yeah, you could pretty much say lugheads are here, sure.
Rip is a guy who wherever
a bunch of lugheads.
I'll show you a look at. Rip is a guy, you always manage to have like 30 or 40 people with you wherever you go.
Well, I always surround myself with, you know, the cream of the crop in Spokane here.
Yeah. All right, well, listen, go watch your game. Thanks for calling. And don't be a stranger.
I won't, guys.
All right, Rip.
When I get into town, I'll give you guys a holler and we'll get out and have a cold one or just reminisce about the old times.
Right, give your wife
a call. Maybe even sing a song or two for you.
Oh, fantastic.
And right. Seriously, our best to your family, Rip.
Thanks, guys. You too.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Take care. Bye-bye.
Here's Mark Rippon, one of the good guys.
Oh, you better believe that.
Really one of the good guys.
Yeah, talk about a family man. Talk about a role model for a family man.
Right.
Good guy.
Super Bowl winning quarterback, he was.
He was. We had some good times with him. We really
sure did.
He was a guy. You know the best story about Rip that you tell is the day you were out on the street spraying the high-powered hose?
Oh, yeah. One day. We were just out on the streets, like 100 degrees, and we were just spraying a hose at people as they drove by. Well, this is like 2 months after the Redskins won the Super Bowl. I mean, it was coming off that and before training camp. We look outside, and it's Mark Rippon. The guy just won a freaking Super Bowl.
Right. We were asking people to come by with their windows rolled down so we could spray inside their car. Right. People were laughing and driving by. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, he comes tooling around the corner with his window rolled down and this big grin on his face. You know?
So we shot water in his car.
That was his idea, like a great afternoon.
Yeah. And we got a big laugh about it. 5 minutes later, he comes around the corner again. Shoot some more water in my car.
Oh, my God. Great guy.
Yeah.
Really, really. And a more down-to-earth guy, you're not going to find. After they won the Super Bowl, because Frieda was friends with his wife, Annette, and they used to live in our neighborhood. So one time we were over their house for this, like, cookout thing, and it was right after they'd won the Super Bowl, like a month afterwards, and he had been named the MVP of the Super Bowl.
Right.
So I said to him, hey, Rip, where's the trophy? Let me see. And he said, oh, it's in the office. So I go in his office, and I swear to God, in a corner, in a pile with T-shirts and socks and boxes all around it, it's a Super Bowl MVP trophy.
There it is.
And I said, hey, man, if I was you, I'd put this on my mailbox. I would get a strap and wear it on my head.
Yeah, really.
And, you know, he was like, well, I don't know where I'm going to put it now.
Oh, man, totally unpretentious.
Just the way he is.
The opposite of, the most modern-day athletes.
Amen.
Yeah. Good guy, Mark Rippon. A good friend, Mark Rippon.
Should have asked him who he's voting for.
It's still on your mind, huh?
I think he's a Republican.
I think he probably is.
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, I would think so. Who knows?
Hello. Don and Mike Show.
Hey, sorry if you guys saw the Sex and the City this week.
I didn't. Yeah, what was it? What was the plot?
Well, they had the dark-haired girl, a little hot girl. She got naked at the end of it.
Oh, that's right. Oh, you mean the one that's married to...
Yeah,
the guy
British
from
geek.
Did you see now
The girl who got married,
yeah.
Her husband supposedly is impotent.
Yeah, he doesn't do it.
No. She caught him getting his jerk
on.
Oh,
I saw that, yeah.
She caught him getting his jerk on in the bathroom. He was reading Jugs magazine.
Yeah, big Jugs magazine.
Right.
She heard him, like, in the middle of the night and woke up, and he's like, in the bathroom.
He's standing in front of the mirror, standing up, getting his J.O.
That's the same thing with this episode. He still can't get it up, so they're trying. She's trying to do stuff to get him going.
How did she look naked?
Good.
Oh,
she's
wow.
got a rocket body.
Oh, wow.
Really?
They just kind of show her nips just from the top.
Her nips.
But then they show her hand going down.
Really?
And they show her starting to do a little stir in the soup, and that gets them a big boner.
Oh, really?
So they were successful?
They finally did it, yeah.
Exactly. Oh. It was so funny that you guys were telling that girl to do that to get her husband, when was that, a couple of days ago?
Yeah, when John Madden was.
That's right, when John Madden was on the phone.
Yeah, right. So funny.
All right, thank you, my friend.
All right, take care.
Thank you for the update.
Okay, bye-bye.
This is a good show. Ross, you really saw that girl naked, huh, Buzz?
You didn't see as much as he let on, and we saw her back, but we did see her belly, and we saw her hand go down
nice,
there.
Nice body?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah, she's tight.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Tight, cute little girl.
How you doing?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don and Mike. How you doing?
Hey, how are you doing?
How you doing?
Hey, I wanted to ask you guys, or Don, if you happen to seen that TV show Jackass on MTV?
I didn't happen to see that one. Anybody else happen to see that one?
I didn't see it.
Well, one of the things he did is he got inside of a urinal and had a trash can truck that empties big, you know, trash can, and tipped it upside down while he was inside the urinal.
Okay, sounds hilarious. Thanks for hipping us to that.
It was nasty.
I thought it was a lovely story.
Thank you, and you told it so well.
With such enthusiasm.
Such enthusiasm. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don, I'm curious. It's been about a month since you got your Cadillac. How's it working out for you?
Beautifully.
Yeah.
A lot of you are waiting for me to come in and tell you I've run it into a telephone pole or something, but in fact, the car is best move I ever made.
You love that car. The car looks good, I'll tell you
it
that.
It does.
It looks nice. Very good.
Nice Cadillac Seville.
Best of all, it's a Cadillac.
You can't beat it.
Not a scratch on it.
You got the OnStar thing, and you use it to find restaurants and stuff?
Excuse me, Don gave me a look. I just
yeah,
got
I
not a scratch
that.
On it. I'm not
there
wrong
is,
about that.
There is a scratch that you can't tell.
Imperceptible?
Yeah. I mean, you know how it is when you get a new car. I was pissed. It happened when I went through a car wash, and I said to Frida when I brought the car home from the wash, and look, it's got a scratch. And she went, where? And I said, it's got a scratch. And I brought her up to the hood of the car, and it's like you have to stand an inch away, and you can barely see this little tiny minute scratch.
Well, it's not like bumper cars two stalls over.
Oh,
man, please tell me about that car. Take a look at that if you ever get a chance, if you're coming in. Take a look at his car.
Oh, I see. You're talking about Liddy's truck?
Yeah. I don't know what he's doing with that thing. But I think he might take it out to the track, you know, for Demolition Derby on the weekend.
I think that's the same dent that he got, like, 2 years ago when he was trying to park in the parking lot downstairs.
Well, somebody was telling me, I think it was Miss Bobby was telling me about the front of the car has been damaged.
That's a new dent. The front, front quarter panel is toast.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know what happened there.
I don't know what he's been doing.
Really?
When he scratched in the parking lot, I think that was a loaner car from a dealership that he had to explain to the dealer when he returned it why he couldn't fit it.
Do you know the response that I get, though, from most people about my new car?
Huh.
I've had a lot of people, like neighbors, where they'll see me come down the street, and so they go, wow, hey, great car, when did you get this? I thought I got it about a month ago. What? But they go, what is this? I go, Cadillac. And as soon as I see a Cadillac, it's like, right away they start busting my balls.
Yeah,
it's a bust
you
balls
know,
kind of car.
Yeah. 2 seconds before, they'd said, hey, that's a great looking car.
Right.
Then I say it's a Cadillac, and right away, they start busting balls.
But it's comfy, and it's powerful.
Yeah, oh, it is. It's a great car. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don, how you doing?
Hey.
I wonder if you guys heard that promo from RonandFez.com.
Oh, I got it right here. Buzz, have you heard the Ron and Fez promo?
I heard it just before the show, yeah.
Okay. Listen to this.
Yeah.
This is a funny promo. You know, Ron and Fez, they were on yesterday. They are on every night after us in D.C. and in New York.
Talking about his makeup.
And here is the Ron and Fez promo from yesterday that mentions
Buzz.
Ah, very good.
Tonight on a very special RonandFez.com.
It's not just porn, it's furnitureporn.com.
Furniture porn? How does furniture do it?
Same way you do, sitting your ass on a lazy boy.
Buzz is not lazy.
Burbank?
After the junkies.
What can I say?
Buzz is not lazy.
He has a crush. I'm very flattered.
They like you.
No, he likes you, Buzz.
Yeah. Sure.
Fez likes you.
God bless him.
Now we're going to New York next week.
Oh, good.
That trip is a go.
That's good.
So that means we're going to be able to see Fezzy's half face.
Hey. Hey.
I'm closing personal. We got to do a break now. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Well, first of all, I want to address something. I hear ESPN is trying to f*** me. And you guys are trying to make a controversy. There's not going to be a controversy. I was joking around with one of my friends. And that's it. If you don't like it, you and your families too. Now let's talk about the game.
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll free at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Do you want to put it in my mouth?
The cure for your anal spasm. The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, now listen, we need more contestants for the talent show tomorrow. We have 7 people coming in right now.
We know we have a very talented audience.
No matter what your talent is, unless it's juggle sticks, you can call us right now at 877-365-3636. Tell us what your talent is. Even if we're on another topic and you can't get through on the air at that moment, you can call and register with Charles Loring Broyhill, who is standing by happily taking your phone calls today.
Yes, very perky and happy today.
We have 7 contestants now. We'd like at least 3 or 4 more for tomorrow's show, when we're going to be giving away a $1,500 shopping spree at the Sharper Image. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Hi, someone I was on earlier. I've been home for a long time.
Yeah.
He told me to hold on and talk to you guys. I have, I want to know if I should go ahead and go through the surgery. I have 4 testicles.
You have 4? If you have 4 testicles, you shouldn't be talking about surgery. You should be talking about coming down tomorrow for our talent show.
Yeah, that's a talent.
That's a talent?
You really have 4 gonads?
Yeah, I have 4 testicles. I really do.
Yeah, you come down here and dangle your bangles. That'll be fun.
That'd put you right to the top of the list.
What kind of talent is that, though? I didn't think I'd be able to be on talent.
It's like a supermodel. So I say, what kind of talent does she have? Well, it's God-given.
4 balls? Jesus, don't think about surgery. Think about coming down and being on this show tomorrow.
Do you think you, because of your 4 balls, that you have any greater sexual prowess than the average person?
It seems to shoot a lot farther.
Really?
4 balls, that's a full bag.
That's incredible.
Yeah, your bag is full.
You know, you actually might not want to get... Are you thinking about getting surgery to remove 2 of them?
Yes, 2
of them. Why? Why would you want to?
It's very uncomfortable to sit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I would imagine that you would actually be able to do well in movies.
I don't know. It gives...
Oh, you mean like in porn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine that. I mean, design a whole feature around it.
Clown nose.
Are you hideously ugly?
No, no.
Yes, it doesn't matter in porn.
It doesn't
porn.
Matter in some pornos, yeah. All right, listen, hold on. I want to sign you up for a talent contest tomorrow.
Remember that videotape we saw of that guy that had the big sack?
Yeah. We've got some other videotape on our desk of something else hideous that we've been talking about in the news. Hey, Rob, would you run up and grab that when you get a chance?
Sure.
I mean, we probably won't watch it today, but I can at least...
Desk?
Yeah, it's on my desk in
what
the office.
It?
I don't remember.
Something really gross?
Yeah, it's something gross. That was recorded off a newscast somewhere.
Oh, no.
Hey, can you hold on, please?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, good. If you really have 4 balls, come down and be on our talent show tomorrow.
That's kind of a long way. I'm in Iowa.
Oh, no.
In Iowa. Well, never mind then.
Oh, well, so do you think I should have the surgery, though?
Well, I tell you, I think they ought to stop going to that genetically engineered corn is what they ought to stop.
I don't know. You know, I'm happy with 2, but I think I'd be just as happy with 4.
Okay.
I think you should exploit it.
Exploit it?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you could go out and do shows. You could come see the 4 bald boy.
4 bald boy.
You should sign up for the next Big Brother.
It's really uncomfortable to sit.
It's uncomfortable to sit, and just, you know how it is with blue balls and 2 balls.
Are they regular-sized balls?
They're pretty large, each one of them. One of them is a little smaller than the other 4.
Are they all in one convenient carrying bag, or do you have 2 separate bags?
It's in one compartment.
One
compartment.
Own compartment. Okay, well, you know, I think the advice here we have is go on tour before you consider any kind of surgery.
Okay. Thank you guys very much.
Thanks.
So,
thank you. Thank you for listening. It's too bad that guy doesn't live in the local metro area.
Yeah, when God deals you an unusual hand, show it to the world.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Wow.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, we're doing great. How you doing?
How you doing?
How you doing?
How you doing?
Hey, I got something for you guys I think you really might be interested in.
Is this the Mike Landis guy?
No, sir. Not at all.
Okay. What can we do for you?
I heard you guys talking about that Clearview radio contest, and I keep on hearing you guys trash it really hard. And
you mean Clear Channel.
I'm sorry, Clear Channel. That's correct.
That's the company that's doing the fake contest. Right. And I know they're doing it in New York, and they're doing it here in D.C., where tomorrow...
They're doing it here in Charlottesville, too, which is about 100 miles south of you guys, and I actually stopped in at one of the radio stations and got their paperwork on it.
You heard us talk about this last week. The deal is, at least on the Jam and Oldie stations in New York and D.C. and Philly and Boston, about 10 markets, the stations are getting on and they're saying, hey, get ready, because tomorrow, Thursday, we're giving away $10,000 an hour, when in reality... They're not, because it's a giant pool of radio stations.
So that radio station's not given $10,000. You know, it's all the stations across the country that are doing it.
Yeah, it's 10 stations in 10 big cities that are all playing the song, the magic song, at the same time, and then you call a number in Cincinnati.
It's a scam.
And
that's right.
And somebody, now listen, somebody does win the money.
Right.
But for 9 out of the 10 markets that are running the contest, in 9 markets... The listeners are being lied to.
And they'll just mention the name of the winner, and they won't mention where they're from. And it'll sound like it really will sound like the winner is from your town.
Yeah, the disc jockey will come on and say, want to congratulate Rob Spiewak, who just won $10,000. What they don't mention is that Rob Spiewak is from Cincinnati.
Yeah.
You know, he's not from the New York area.
It's slippery.
Exactly.
Yeah, it sucks. So what did you do?
Well, I stopped on in there. I heard you call up one of the local D.C. stations and try to get on them real bad, and I stopped in at this one and pretty much did just what you did, but I did it in person.
And what did they say?
They couldn't come up with any valid answer either, but they did give me a list of all 55 stations participating in this local area.
Christ, imagine that, a contest with 55 stations. And how much...
And we're talking about Boise, Charleston, Cleveland, Finlay, Harrisonburg, Fort Myers...
Odds of winning?
Memphis,
zero.
Milwaukee...
Jesus.
And goes on and on.
Wow.
Jesus. Now, let me ask you something. As someone who's listened to whatever this station is, do they ever run anything beyond a disclaimer that's like one of those things you hear? Well, Mike does it at the end of a car ad.
Yeah, a limited time offer. The odds of winning, 1 in 45,000,000,000.
they do have a disclaimer on here. But it pretty much says that...
This contest applies to all stations across the country. It's not really only in your market. Right. We're lying to you.
This station... I'm not going to read the name of the station, but this station is participating in a contest with other Clear Channel radio stations, both inside and outside of the station listening area.
See, but my question is... How
did
often
you play it on the radio?
Jam and Oldies is not responsible for the odds that you have to win.
Yeah.
I heard it once today.
And when you heard it, did they slow down and explain it, or did they just say it real fast?
No, they actually said it so it was clear. They weren't talking real fast, but they said it at like 6 in the morning.
Yeah, I think probably the deal is...
Oldies reserves the right to create the illusion that you're going to win this contest, and the winners will be from your hometown.
They're probably within the legal limits if they run a disclaimer once a day.
Right.
If you run it once a day. And like you run it one day at 6 a.m., you run it the next day at 4 a.m., you run it the next day at 9 o'clock at night when you're sure nobody's listening.
The management of Jam and Oldies advises you that the winners could be from any city in the country.
Jesus. That sucks on ice.
Well, I asked the lady sitting behind the desk who really didn't know very much. I said, so has there been any winners? And she said, oh, yeah, every time. I said, really? Well, how many from here? And she's like, let me get you this piece of paper.
Give me the disclaimer. You know what else is a pisser? Is that, you know, the fact that the radio columnist for the Washington Post is just such a douchebag that last week, I mean, we had talked about this Clear Channel concert contest scam months ago when it was happening in some of the other markets we broadcast to.
Right.
But we talked about it last week because it was happening here in D.C. and also in New York, two of our home markets.
Mm-hmm.
We called up the radio station on the air. We got the guy on the other end of the phone. Who's giving me the line of BS, saying, well, I don't have all the information in front of me right now.
He was dancing all over the place.
It's a lottery. Yes, we do give away $10,000. How many winners have been from D.C.? Well, I couldn't really tell you. I mean, you know, for my money, it was pretty riveting radio, behind-the-scenes stuff, and we were exposing a fraud at this radio station. Mm-hmm. So somebody said, I think maybe you said on the radio, Buzz,
yes.
So this would be good stuff for the radio columnist to write about.
Right. If he wrote about interesting stuff, but he doesn't do that.
No. Well, yeah, you know what he wrote about yesterday? Public radio.
Again?
I mean, like, 800 words about public radio.
Oh,
I mean, five gigantic columns.
And then another blurb about radio outside of Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
In another town. In L.A. and San Francisco.
Unbelievable. When he was in Los Angeles, he heard J.J. Jackson, who used to be on MTV.
Right.
Playing the entire side of Bruce Springsteen's Born to Run.
That somehow was special to him.
Yeah, right.
That's good.
A guy who was
when he was out on another one of his friend trips.
West Coast trips.
Right.
A guy who was on MTV 15 years ago playing a record that was out 20 years ago. That's relevant to the people reading the Washington Post.
That's what moved him.
Yeah. I thought for sure at least he would write, hey, we had some exciting radio this week. What's up with this contest? Is this a real contest? Is this a fake contest?
I mean, people would love to read that. A journalist would do that.
Yeah. Because, and this I really mean, I mean, unlike our presidential stuff, there's no humor in this. This is a fake contest. This is a bull-ass contest.
This is insulting anybody that's listening and thinking that they're running a legitimate contest. I mean, it's really insulting because, I mean, what they're doing is, at its core, at the very premise of the contest, dishonest.
Yeah. So if you're listening to the Jam and Oldie Station in New York, and incidentally, the thing that all these stations have in common is they all suck ass. Really, they all suck the big pipe. None of them have any ratings.
What you do, you know, to make that contest on the up and up, you say we congratulate, you know, Johnny Winter of Cincinnati.
Right.
I mean, that's how you make it out of it. They won't do that. They'll make it sound like it's in your backyard.
Yeah, right. So if you listen to Jam and Oldies in New York tomorrow, you're going to hear them say, we're giving away $10,000 an hour. You listen to Jam and Oldies in D.C., you're going to hear them say that. You listen to the Jam and Oldies in Boston, you're going to hear them say that. And in reality, all of these stations are lying to their listeners.
Exactly.
I mean, it's really bullcrap.
Yeah, and you know, they've been exposed, and they continue just to plot along.
Yeah, well they plot.
They're within the letter of the law, of course, because they get on it, you know, however times a day, and they say, hey, you know, and I don't think there's any law about that. I think that they can do anything they want.
I mean, it's not illegal by the letter of the law, but it's misleading.
Mm-hmm.
It's lying to the people who listen to your station.
You think you're listening to a radio station in that city that's giving away $10,000 and you think you've got a really good chance of winning.
And even if they run a disclaimer, when they announce the winners' names by not announcing where the winners live,
right,
it's hinky.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, listen, if you happen to tune in one of these stations tomorrow and you hear them play the $10,000 record and then when they come on, and you don't hear the person on the air who won, you know it's an out-of-town winner.
Absolutely.
Because radio stations always put winners on the air.
I bet if they get a local winner, they'll go nuts about it. You'll hear that, hey, this person from Silver Spring.
Yeah, but as of yet, there's been none.
Right.
And
the odds are very slim that you will get one.
Right, because you're competing against, even though nobody listens to the stations, it's on in 20 major markets.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, let's just face it, there's 3 million listeners in D.C.
They might have it rigged also that, you know, that they get a winner from every city during the duration of the contest.
I don't see how you could rig that.
Yeah, you probably couldn't.
You couldn't. You know, in Washington, D.C., there are 3 million available people.
Mm-hmm.
About 100,000 listen to the station. In New York, there are 14 million available people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got like three times as many listening to that crap station there. So, I mean, you add them up with all the people all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
The chances of winning,
I know,
they're not going to happen.
It'd be great if somebody from the Federal Trade Commission heard about this and took some steps toward it. They're the people who tell you how long you can use the word new, for example. There's a rule that you can only say new on a radio station for 6 months. And then beyond that, you're
haven't
not
they
supposed
broken
to.
That rule? Don't they, the one in Washington?
Oh, of course they
say the new.
There are, you know, I don't know how they're enforced, or maybe they're not enforced at all, but there are rules, and there is an agency that's supposed to keep an eye on that.
That's petty to me, because a lot of stations say that they're new, even when they're not new. But you're talking about getting on the air and saying, we are giving away $10,000 an hour,
mm-hmm.
when in fact, that station, WJMO, is not giving away $10,000
right.
an hour.
Right.
They're not.
55 stations are doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or whatever the number is that
right.
guy's the group.
Correct. Sucks on ice.
It does suck.
Listen, here's the videotape that somebody sent us from WPLG-TV. I think it's in Miami. Dear Don and Mike, here's a tape from Miami of the guy with the tumor in his chin.
Oh.
Think
oh.
Mr. Potato Head or a freakish Jay Leno accident of nature.
We talked about this.
And the tape says, big ass tumor on Haitian guy's chin.
Oh, okay. All right. The tumor on the chin.
All right. So we've got that tape. We'll watch that when we watch the J.O. tape.
He will not be live in the talent show, right?
No, he will not.
Okay, very good.
Although I do think we have some talent calls standing by now. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, I give you my four-syllable greeting. How you doing?
How you doing, dude?
How you doing?
How you doing, dude sickle?
How you doing?
Doing good, duties.
Okay, what's your talent?
I don't have a talent. I got some porno movies for you here.
What pornos?
The Crime Saga, Mickey Blue Guys.
Come on.
Sci-fi action, Men in Back.
I think the only porn we're accepting is clown porn.
Yeah, we're looking for clown porn after that call we had yesterday.
Oh, Bozo doesn't have any clown porn here, though. Sorry about that.
Oh. Thank you. Goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, what's up, Don and Mike?
Hey, you got talent?
Yeah, it's sort of like that last guy with the four balls.
What's your talent?
Actually, I got 6 strands of hair growing straight out the hole in my penis.
Come on in.
That made me a little queasy when I had that.
6 strands of hair growing out of the hole in your penis.
Right, 6 strands of hair. They're pain in the ass. They've always done it. It every time, the only thing I could do is, doctor told me, is ice it down and pluck them.
Who wants to pluck hair that's coming out of the hole of your penis?
Oh my God. Well, you know, it is a talent contest. Will you pluck one of them when you're down here?
Yeah, well, like I said, I would have to ice it up and numb it, though. That's the only
cure for it. That's fine. Yeah, come on down. You're in.
Yeah. So he'll pluck a hair coming out of his
hole in his penis.
D-hole.
Hello. Not in Mike's show.
Hey, I wanted to know what's up with Wendell Hall and the manual release girl. Is that still going on?
You know, I think he's still dating her.
I think they're still very much in love.
I'll find out during the break.
Okay, well, thanks.
Thank you, my friend. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing?
How you doing?
How you doing?
It's a how you doing guy again.
How you doing?
How you doing?
How you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
All right, hello, Don and Mike. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike?
Yes, we are. Hi.
Hey, guys, I have a celebrity sighting for you guys.
Really?
Meg Ryan in Paris.
Oh, come on. I read People magazine, too, okay?
I don't know what that has to do with it. I said I was in Paris with my wife. We were on our honeymoon, and we saw Meg Ryan at a cafe.
And did you speak to her?
I did speak with her. I asked her if she's ever heard of Don and Mike, and her response was, yes, I have, and I find them very repulsive.
Oh, you're
BS.
Full of crap.
Don't believe it.
No way. That is the truth.
No way.
You're such a liar.
No, that is the truth.
Liar!
Whoever answered the phone said you guys wouldn't believe me either, but...
Yeah, right.
I thought you guys would find it humorous.
That's because whoever answered the phone didn't believe you.
Oh, he didn't believe me.
No, he only put you through so that we could tell you that we didn't believe you.
Rob says he believes you, though.
Well, thanks, Rob. I hope Buzz will believe me, too.
I'm sorry I don't.
No, Buzz doesn't believe you.
I'm sorry.
No, that is the truth, guys.
When were you in Paris?
About a week and a half ago.
And that would be exactly the same time, I just got done reading People magazine, in which Meg Ryan was pictured walking up and down the beach in Santa Monica with what's his name, the gladiator.
Russell Crowe.
Oh, I have no clue.
That's why I mentioned you. Well, why don't you go buy the latest People magazine that has Meg Ryan and the gladiator on the cover, and then you'll find out where she really was last week.
I'll stick with SI, thanks. But, hey, you guys can believe it, you can. I just found it humorous, and that was the...
No, you're lying.
No, I'm not lying. I have no reason to call up there and lie to you guys about something like
that. You're on the radio, aren't you?
Of course you do.
I guess.
Sure.
You got a point there. But that's the truth.
What was the cafe?
Huh?
Huh?
It's French. How am I supposed to pronounce it?
Well, you probably remember the name.
What was the hotel?
No, I know that it was about 2 blocks away from the Eiffel Tower.
You're such a friggin' liar.
You are so BS.
No, I'm not BSing you guys.
2 blocks away from
the Eiffel Tower.
It was right next to the Apple Tower.
I'm from Southern Maryland. Of course I'm going to speak like a smib.
Now, listen, you used the only landmark. I'm surprised you didn't say it was by the Arc. You know, it would either be the Eiffel Tower or the Arc.
The Arc de Triomphe.
Right. Those are the two giant things in Paris. Tell me something else you saw in Paris.
Oh, what do you want to talk? You want to talk about the art galleries that we went to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which one do you want to talk about?
The Louvre.
There's no Louvre there.
No, there's no Louvre in Paris.
No, you're right. There's no Louvre in Paris.
What hotel did you stay at?
Oh, that's a Holiday Inn, of course.
Of course. Paris Holiday Inn.
Right.
And did you go shopping at the big department store?
Now, is it so hard to believe that in the world we have today, there would be a Holiday Inn in Paris?
We know, not at all. I don't know. We've moved past that. We're accepting that one. We're not going to pursue that one.
I'm not accepting that.
By any chance, did you go to the big department store? It covers like four blocks downtown.
No, we did most of our shopping on little shops.
Yeah. Okay. Rob, isn't that the biggest museum in Paris?
It is the biggest museum in the world.
There you go.
Oh, the Louvre?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, even I've heard of it.
Right.
I don't think that's in Paris.
Are you familiar at all with the Georges Pompidou Center?
Pardon me?
Did you see the Georges Pompidou Center? It's cool. Rob's been to Paris. Yeah. It's very cool.
I was in Paris on my honeymoon. I spent a majority of my time
in the room.
Right.
Except when you were at the restaurant when you saw Meg Ryan.
No, it wasn't a restaurant. It was an outside sit-down cafe.
Right. Well, same difference. At the same time, while she's pictured...
Sit-down cafe.
While she's pictured in People magazine walking down the street...
It was a look-around cafe.
In Santa Monica, California.
I don't know. I don't read People magazine, so I don't know.
Did you go to the Eiffel Tower?
Yes, we did go to the Eiffel Tower.
Did you eat in the restaurant in the Eiffel Tower like every tourist does?
We did not go up it. We went, we took pictures of it, and that was about the extent of that.
Big spender.
Ask him some stuff about the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, see if we can really ferret him out here, Rob. I'm trying to think. I actually popped the $4 and went up, so I'm not sure what I can ask him about, like, what's around it.
Okay.
Trying to think of anything else. Did you walk?
Ask them about the time difference.
Yeah, what's the time difference?
They're three hours ahead of us.
What's the name of the airport in Paris?
3 hours.
That's wrong.
No, you'd be in the ocean, you retard. What's the name of the airport?
All right, fine.
What's the name of the airport?
You got me. I'm lying.
Finally. Good.
Thank you.
Jesus Christ.
It was the only way I could get through to ask one simple question.
Uh-oh.
No.
Now
you don't get the right of that.
You can't lie and get rewarded.
Sorry, please.
Good.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello?
3 hour time difference.
Hello.
Hello?
I thought it was a 3 hour time difference.
Hi there. You're on the air.
Hi. Am I?
Yeah.
Hi, Don, Mike. How are you?
Hi, sweetie.
Good.
Hi, Cupcake.
Hello.
Hi, darling.
Hi.
How you doing, darling?
Well, I'm fine.
How you doing? What can we do for you?
I just want to enter the talent show.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Tomorrow. What's your talent?
I can lick my bridge of my nose.
You can lick the bridge of your nose?
Yeah, like over my... You know how some people touch the tip of their nose?
Wow, you can go all the way up to the bridge. Your tongue is that long?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Actually, I got you guys.
That's one of the best ever. That is one of the best ever. Do the female voice again.
Excuse me.
That's good.
Like, you are so sexy.
That's good.
Not bad, huh?
That is all terrific.
Right. All right, you got it.
I play people all the time, man. I get bored by myself and do it.
Oh, my God. That is incredible.
You got us.
Hey, can I say what's up to my friends real fast?
Yeah, but say it as a girl.
I'd like to thank Rob, sitting at home right now, probably playing with himself, and John, listening to my voice, probably doing the same thing.
All right,
bye,
thank you.
Fellas. Bye.
Oh, Jesus. He got us.
Good job.
Oh, he got us good.
Oh, my God.
That's one for them, zero for us.
Yes, absolutely.
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
If Larry tells him about becoming a masturbator before the show, I'll never be able to show my face in public.
Why are we masturbating before the show?
You see, it's an interesting story, isn't it? Well, you gotta put it in the book. I can smell it.
Don't boxers abstain from any type of sexual activity before a big fight?
Yes, because they are pussies. What I find, a little sexual stimulation before the show relaxes and centers me. Oh, my God.
What?
What if he has the pictures?
Two
horny, nasty guys waiting to please you.
Right.
Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, Don.
Yeah, hi.
Listen, you're talking about talent. You know, well, listen to this. I got a birthmark kind of on my rear end. Looks like Woody Woodpecker.
Really, would that be a talent we'd be interested in for the talent
show?
Boy,
that's a tough call. You know, I mean,
it's pretty. I mean, I'm kind of self-centered about it. But if people, you know,
how big is it? How big is it?
I'd say about $50.
No, that's not big enough.
Not thick enough.
Looks like Woody Woodpecker there.
No, goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
I'm so sorry to hear he's so self-centered about it, but yeah.
Okay, listen. We're going to do the postponed from yesterday, the anal monologues in a couple of
minutes. Oh, all right.
I had a couple of stories that have just been sitting around that I wanted to share with you. It's a great one. More about Dr. Laura. You know.
Show's still on hiatus?
Yeah. And now all kinds of crap's coming out about her TV show.
Very good.
Okay. You know, we were just talking about how Clear Channel does that contest, the radio contest that's all fake.
Right.
Well, another ringer has been spotted in the studio audience of Dr. Laura's TV show.
Another actor?
Yeah. No, no, no.
Really?
This time, it's a member of her staff.
Oh, that's great. Now, if we remember, the last time you talked about it, they were putting actors in the audience to, you know, to fake being good members of the studio audience.
Okay. On the show that ran on TV stations 1 week ago today, one of Dr. Laura's researchers was on. She described herself as a professional note taker for college athletes. So she's lying.
And so the whole thing is a scam.
And here's a quote from Dr. Laura. Dr. Laura says, "I'm honored you have the courage to come here today and talk about this."
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. And if you watch her show carefully, the same woman from her staff who got on and said this lie, the same woman was spotted in the audience on the next day's show.
Oh, God. Oh,
no. I gotta be desperate.
So this is like the whole note taker obviously saying that college athletes are not taking the courses. Is that what it is?
Yes.
Oh, and my God. That's amazing.
She sits in the classes instead of them, you know, and does the cheat sheets.
Mm-hmm. And as opposed to an actor who you could even hide behind the fact that the producers might have brought in an actor, unbeknownst to Dr. Laura.
A member of her staff.
Oh, this is somebody she knows.
A member of her staff.
Oh, that can color her done. If you know, if all this comes out and gets finalized, she's toast.
This is not getting a lot of play. It's not like I've heard the story broadcast everywhere. I do know that in New York, her numbers are so bad. Is she on Channel 2 there?
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm. On Channel 2, her numbers are so bad that they're going to put her show on in the middle of the night. Because they signed the contract to air the show, but it doesn't matter where they air. I think they're airing like at 4 in the afternoon
or five, something like that.
Against Oprah now.
So what you're saying is the reason it's not getting the play is because the show just nobody's watching anyway, so it doesn't. If it was a big success, this would be a major scandal.
Of course.
Oh, that's it. That's so
but how great is that? I mean, and that's coming on the stories last week that they were hiring actors to be in the audience.
and
that's one thing, to hire actors just to fill seats in an audience and to applaud.
Right.
You know, that's technically really, I don't think anything unethical about that.
But if the actors are in the audience to stand up and ask questions and say, hey, you know, it's my father abused me too, then it's bad.
It's rigged.
And this is even worse, a staff member.
One of her researchers. Isn't that great?
That is terrific.
Okay. Here's the next one I got for you. There's a story I've just been sitting on. Remember the .com guy? I know Buzz had him on the news. The guy who was, I think since January, all he's been doing is sitting in a room with a camera on him, and he vowed that for 1 year he was not going to leave his room. He was going to live his life locked in his house, locked in his apartment, and he was going to order everything that he needed off the internet.
Right.
And this got lots of play. I think. Did you ever pull his website up on the show?
Yeah, I have, and you talked about it. I think you visited his website a couple of times.
Yeah, I spent a couple of weekends right watching this guy.
What's the website? Do you know the website?
It's
.com guy.
Yeah, .com guy.com.
www..comguy.com.
Right. Pull it up and see if it's up right now, Buzz. Try it right now.
A little confusing for me. www..comguy.com.
Right. That's it.
That's confusing.
But he's being sued.
Really?
He's being sued for not paying his internet bill.
Oh God.
He's been on the web with
his lifeline.
He's been on the web with this show since January. He owes $67,000.
Oh my God.
And he hasn't paid anything.
Is he making any money off the website? I mean, with the hits, does he have any advertisers or anything like that?
The last time I went on, and listen, albeit it was months ago, there were no pop-up ads.
Right.
It was just you clicked on and you just saw this guy, like, lay on the couch reading the newspaper.
And he doesn't have a sponsor or anything like that that's underwriting the whole project?
I'm surprised. Something is coming up now. The screen is still white, but it looks like we're at that address. I understand, you know, because he hadn't paid his bill, they yanked the website for a few days. I don't know if it's back up yet now or not. They're still waiting. Nothing, you can see it working at the bottom of the screen, but...
How great is that?
Still blank.
Guy didn't pay his bill.
$67,000.
And listen, a Wendell's girlfriend is on the phone. Before we get to Wendell's girlfriend...
Yes.
I just wanted to tell you, another one of the many arguments / debates that we've had on the show over the years,
right,
is which is better, Walmart or Target?
Right, right.
You're a Target guy.
That's a long-running one. It's not as long as some of the ones, but it was one of our longest-running ones.
I'm a Walmart guy.
Right.
I think generally if each of us separately were driving down the road, there's a Walmart on one side, the Target on the other, you'd go to the Target,
yeah,
I'd go to the Walmart.
Absolutely.
I got something that's going to win you over to my side.
Really?
They're just introducing. This is not a goof. Walmart wine. Walmart brand wine. Its own discount brand wine.
This is the greatest wine I've ever had.
Now, a nice bottle of Walmart Merlot.
Yeah, is it a bargain?
$6.50 for a bottle of Walmart wine.
That is tough. That is really, really tough. Till Target comes out with their own brand of beer. You know, you got me. You got me.
Ain't that something?
Walmart
wine.
Walmart loco.
Yeah. Hey, impress your friends.
Yeah, bring during the holidays. Yes, serve the best.
Walmart. It says Walmart wine.
It has a little smiley face on it, too. A really smiley face.
Hey, hold on. We got a guy who's got information about the doctor. Hello?
Hey, Dynamite. They brought in some of the painter's house.
Juggle sticks?
No, Juggle sticks.
Buzz, have you been able to get it up yet?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, and I found the website. He does up there. He does have sponsors, and there's some kind of, you know, statement on here about the lawsuit, but I haven't waded through all of it yet.
What does it say?
Thanks to our viewers, as the nation's leading news bureaus reported, was involved with a minor dispute with one of our vendors.
A minor dispute? Step two for $67,000.
Wow. Down at the bottom, it says New Media Group has withdrawn the pending lawsuit, and both parties are again working together to continue to break ground with innovative offerings and services related to the internet property.
Well, they made nice. Everyone's right with the world. What's he doing? Is he on there now?
I got to download Shockwave or Flash Player.
Oh, yeah, you got to download Flash Player
so you can actually see him.
Okay.
It's really good. You can see live video, and it's like watching TV.
Yeah, I've seen him. I was addicted to it a couple of months ago, but then he was not doing anything good.
I have a computer question.
Yeah?
When you download that kind of crap, like I get that all the time. I get it from different emails that in order to see the email, you know, the thing that was
you
sent,
have to download
you have
it?
To download something. And I downloaded one thing. Where does it all go? Like when you download it, you know what I mean?
Into your download file.
Look under My Download File.
My Download
File.
What we could do is, if you have Windows, click on Start.
Right.
And that'll give you a gigantic window
that comes up on the
left.
Okay.
Then you click on Documents.
Right.
And you go to Documents, and you'll have it right there.
And then how do you activate it?
You click on.
And then double click it, and it'll open up.
All right. It's simple. But speaking of, how you doing?
How you doing?
Hey, speaking of websites, I got an email from Leah Remini yesterday, and she's pissed because she only got 57 hits on her website yesterday, where she's selling her costume jewelry.
Oh, man.
So everybody, please go to www.JackieandLeah.com.
Will you go to that one, Buzz?
Yeah.
I'm there now.
Even if you don't buy anything, just go there. So she gets like a million hits today.
Mm-hmm. The pictures are lovely.
www.JackieandLeah.com.
Have you been on that website?
.com. No, Frida was. Well, she bought a handbag or something.
Is Leah featured prominently?
Oh, no, hold on. I saw it when Frida brought up. There's a picture of Jackie.
Uh-huh.
Remember how I described Jackie to you?
Yes.
Do you remember?
Jackie and Leah together.
There's a picture of the two of them.
Does Jackie make the jewelry?
No, actually, you know, the night that I spent at Leah's house, part of the time was spent watching Leah and Carney, excuse me, Jackie, watching them actually make this jewelry that they sell.
Really?
So, they actually,
so you were an eyewitness to the care and craftsmanship that went into the product.
You wouldn't think that a star of a top 20 TV show would supplement her income by doing this, but she is. So please go to this website. It's www.leahandjackie.com.
Fine. Hope they're overwhelmed today. That'll be good. And buy something.
Just give them lots of hits.
Sure.
That's all we ask.
Purses, barrettes, headbands, chokers and necklaces and bracelets. Those are the categories.
Yeah. I mean, you know, generally it's the weird crap that if your wife's like Frida, she'll probably like it.
Mm-hmm. Is there a link to Leah's nude page?
Sadly, no.
No, there is.
Damn it.
There is a link to Leah's clown porn, though, which has Leah and Angelo doing it, but they're dressed up like clowns. Hold on. I told you we have Wendell's girlfriend on the phone.
Very good.
Juicy Lucy.
Hey, Juicy Lucy.
Is online. Yeah. Hey, Juicy Lucy.
How are you?
Hi, we're doing great. You know, someone just called and asked, what's up with Wendell and the girl that he met on the show?
Yes, I heard, and I would like to report that he still continues to romance me.
Oh, fantastic.
I'm over with Walmart Merlot.
Merlot.
In Chablis. Yes.
So you are still seeing Wendell Hall?
That is correct.
Are you still in coitus with him?
All the time.
All the time. Oh, wow. You've made Wendell a happy man.
Wow.
So are you guys doing anything tonight?
No, I have to work.
Oh, you have to work. Okay.
By the way, I wanted to mention my talent.
Oh, what's that?
Okay.
Juicy Lucy. I think Wendell's probably already told us about some of your talent.
Well, I can perform a sensual massage, bring the client to manual release while sucking my own nipple.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Are you doing that with any client?
Yeah, I do that with Wendell all the time.
With Wendell all the time.
So you're still referring to Wendell as your client. That's good.
No, he's not my client.
Okay, he's your lover.
And I also wanted to say something about Jack Diamond.
Yeah, what about him?
Well, a few years ago, I was a cocktail waitress.
Yeah.
At a bar.
Oh.
And he and his groovy band came to play at the bar.
Yeah, the Jack Diamond Band.
Diamond Alley.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was very busy before they came.
Yeah.
And he came back into the kitchen and he said, hey, the young lady, can I have a cup of coffee?
That is so true.
And I was so scared when he asked me this. He really talks like that in real life.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, young lady, how about a cup of coffee? Hey,
young lady, can I have a cup of coffee?
That's exactly what he said. I was like, oh, my God, what was that? And I would like some cream, too. And so he was very nice to me. I'll give him that. But when his show started and they played the 80s hits, I had the worst night financially ever. every person in the bar, none of them drank. They were so boring.
Hey, thank you. Want to do something now made popular by Air Supply? Maybe you remember.
Totally.
You're every woman in the world.
Young lady.
Sue me.
Can I have a cup of coffee, please?
I want to tell you something.
So it was an awful night. I was dying to get out of there because no one drank. No one tipped.
I'd like to say hi to all five people who are here at the Old Anglers Inn tonight. And I want to say to you five people who are here, I think you've seen the crown of your head, baby. You've not lived.
See my ex-wife, Pam, sitting down in the front. We're best friends, you know. And right to her left there is Lisa. Lisa's having my baby. Have a coffee on me, ladies.
And after the coffee, I think I'll slip up there and play my unamplified electric guitar.
Another great Jack Diamond story, too.
You play a lot of Journey.
A lot of journey. Hey, here's a little Don't Stop Believer. Yeah, everybody. Hey, someday love will find you through those chains that bind you.
Oh, a little something from the 80s. A great decade for music.
We got to go our separate ways. Yeah. All right, thank you. Listen, so Juicy Lucy, would you say officially that Wendell, our engineer, is your boyfriend?
You'd have to ask him that.
Well, what do you consider? Are you dating anyone besides Wendell?
No, I'm not.
Then you're his girlfriend.
I think I'm falling in love with Wendell, but I don't think he is falling in love with me.
Oh, well, you know, you better believe we'll grill him on that.
Well, please do.
All right, we shall.
Because let me tell you, our relationship is so superficial. All we do is have sex.
That's a start.
And it's fine, but I'm like,
All right, well, but you know something? We'll get Wendell to treat you.
For the record, though, you think you are falling in love with Wendell?
Yes, I do.
Okay. That's
thanks.
Good.
Hey, Rob, you'll find Wendell.
We got to get to the bottom of this.
Bye, Juicy Lucy.
Obviously, Wendell's gotten to the bottom of it quite a bit.
Next break. Okay. Next break. Bring him in. Put him under the hot lights.
It's free. Young lady, can I have a cup of coffee, please?
That's a great. It's so real.
She said, you know, that's so true what she's saying. You know, I wasn't there, but I know it's true.
And hey, everybody, a little fun of words, not the words of journey. Don't stop believing. Don't stop believing. Thank you. Tip your waiters and your waitresses. And don't forget, the greatest moment you can have is when you said, crown of your baby's head.
Goodbye to Lisa, goodbye to Pam. Take care, ladies. The ladies in my life.
Time out. We will be right back.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.
Lunchtime. Well, let's see what I've packed for myself today. One bullion cube, one Kirkwood grape, one Philly cheesesteak, and a jar of garlic pickles. No one will want to kiss me after these, eh, Smithies?
Well, it's their loss, sir.
America's favorite turgid talkers, Don and Mike.
All right, listen, Wendell's not in the building, our engineer, Wendell Hall.
Oh, my God, he's probably listening. He's careening his Jeep up the road.
Well, we paged him.
Yep.
We paged him and left the hotline number, and we've not heard back from him yet. I mean,
you think he's uncomfortable with the subject matter?
Yeah, he could be. Here's a guy who didn't get laid for 13 years, hooked up with Juicy Lucy. She just called the show and virtually said that she's falling in love with him.
And Wendell, if you're listening, her knock on the relationship is that it's too superficial. It's just sex. Mm-hmm. All sex. Up.
Oh, here's the hotline right now.
No. Maybe he's at a jewelry store.
Hello?
Hey, it's Wendell. You rang?
Yeah. Hey, Wendell, hold on 1 second. Be right back. Hold on, because I got a girl for the talent contest. Hello? Hi.
Hi. How are you guys?
Great, thank you. What's your name?
Mary.
Mary, what's your talent?
You could really consider it a talent or not. And actually talking, I didn't know what the prize was. And could you just have $1,500 cash?
No, you have to spend...
For image, I have about as many massagers as I can handle.
Hey, there are lots of other wonderful things. And the Sharper Image is always updating its product line.
I know, and I have a good talent. But in order to degrade myself in such a manner, I would...
Honey, what's your talent?
I can give birth to a hot dog. Is that a talent?
Absolutely.
Yes, it is.
And it'd be good enough to win, too. But see, I mean, the LASIK eye surgery, I tried to get through for that, but I couldn't get through.
So let him join the contest.
I know.
However, if you could give birth to a hot dog tomorrow, that would put you way up there.
Absolutely.
I know, but that's only a 15. That's only...
Only a 15. Only a $1,500 prize.
But a good Sharper Image, you know, that's...
Honey, listen.
That's like men toys and stuff, right?
Sharper Image is a hot story. Either you're in or you're not.
Have you no Christmas shopping to do?
Yeah, I have lots of Christmas shopping.
You can always get a great watch.
You guys always have them. So when you have one.
No. You know what? Then if you're going to be like that, we're not going to let the girl who gives birth to a hot dog come on the next time we do this.
Oh, my gosh. You guys are mean.
No, we're not mean.
No, you're dissing our prize here, honey.
No, I'm not. I didn't know what it was when I called in to find out what it was before I, you know, would even register.
What an unusual happenstance. Rob Spiewak has made his way to the microphone.
I hope she comes in and I hope she wins, but I'm sure that if she doesn't, there's lots of ladies out there.
Give me some ideas of some things I could get at Sharper Image.
Oh, I'm not going to sell you on the concept. Either you're in or not.
Well, I just don't know what.
Make a decision.
I don't know.
Come on.
Don't know what Sharper Image has to offer me.
Five.
Honey.
Four.
In or not.
Three.
Probably not, then.
One.
Come on. That's a shame, because Sharper Image just introduced a great new anti-whore pill.
Come on, give her one, Rob.
Whore! Stupid, dumb whore! Hot dog whore!
Hot dog whore.
Hot dogs. Hoary hot dogs. What kind of guys like hoary hot dogs?
You know, fat guys, skinny guys, guys that climb on rocks.
You know, as Rob pointed out,
Any woman could probably do that if she wanted to.
Yes, that's an excellent idea.
Yeah, a woman who might enjoy our prize
exactly.
A little more.
$1,500 shopping spree at Sharper Image. All you can do is
there's great stuff in there.
Give birth to a hot dog. That's a great idea, actually. Hello, Wendell.
Hey, dude, what up?
Listen, here's the deal. Were you listening at all?
No, I don't have a radio in my car.
Wendell, you're an engineer at a radio station.
Yeah, I have a little radio that I wear on my waist 24/7. If something goes wrong, people call me and tell me.
Oh, I got you. So what, your car is like your fortress of solitude?
Exactly.
That's Superman's house, you know.
So you really don't have a radio in the car?
That's right. I've got the pager, I got the cell phone.
You know, and for the record, Superman always had the faggiest house. You know, Batman at least had the cool Batcave.
Right.
Spider-Man had like a lab. Superman, you had to go out to the Arctic
with the ice crystals.
Yeah, and no, you're thinking about the movie. In the comic books.
Oh, it's different in the comic books?
Well, listen to this. In the comic books, there were all these, again, it was like by glaciers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And to open the door, he had to fly and get this gigantic key. And the way he hid the key from people was that it was disguised as a sign for airplanes that were flying over saying, this way to Alaska.
Uh-huh.
So Superman would actually have to fly over and pick up this big, stupid key, which was like 20 times bigger than he is, and fly to the front door of his fortress of solitude.
And open the door?
And actually put the key in the door.
And what was it like inside? How come you hated it? What was it? Was it just wimpy?
No, it was the outside that I hated.
Oh, you hated the outside.
The inside was cool.
Right.
But the outside, I mean, he's Superman. Why do you need a big, gigantic...
So you would have liked him like to use his like super X-ray vision, maybe, to get into the door or something like
that. Yeah, or you know, just, you know...
Push it open.
Yeah, that's right.
A huge rock.
Push it open. Mm-hmm. Yeah, excellent.
Or like a stop sign flipped down.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was cool.
That was the Batman TV show. That's not the real Batman. The real Batman was the Batman in the comic book.
Did it have a similar thing in the...
No. In the comic book, you never saw how he got the car out from the Batcave.
Oh. It was just the Batcave.
It was just the Batcave.
Batcave, the coolest superhero hangout.
Yes, right? And right underneath the house. And, you know, in the comic books, he didn't have the thing where he jumped down the poles and changed clothes on the way down.
Oh, really?
No.
That was pretty cool, though.
Yeah, well, that was queer.
Well, it wasn't true to the comic book.
No.
You're a purist when it comes to this.
And it was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
How could you possibly push a button that changed your clothes as you came down a fireman's pole?
Well, what if in between the where Alfred was in, like, the big paneled walled fireplace room?
Right.
And then you had to go down a couple of floors. Then somewhere, like, as he was sliding down the pole, maybe he just jumped right into his suit.
Impossible, because then you would see his Bruce Wayne clothes underneath his Batman clothes.
Wow.
Right? Wouldn't I mean, wouldn't you see, like,
through.
Wouldn't you see the lumps and stuff from your regular shirt and pants underneath your Batman
Unless
suit?
You, on another level, you had his clothing removed.
But, Mike, it happened so quickly, though.
It did.
Velcro. What if the Bruce Wayne clothes were breakaway and the cape and the cowl were under that? The outfit was pretty tight. You wouldn't see that under his, like,
impossible.
It's one of the
breakaway. That's why your head is that big.
It is one of the few criticisms I have with the Batman TV concept.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I loved it.
So what you're getting at is that at some point there, Bruce Wayne is naked sliding down a pole. That is gay.
Yes. Ellison Wendell Hall. Here's the reason we're calling you. A guy called us up and he says, hey, you're Engineer Wendell. What's happening in his love life? And we said, we got no idea. Well, a couple minutes later, Juicy Lucy calls him.
Hey.
And she says that things are going great between the two of you.
She's talking about how she enjoys you. And then at the end of the conversation, we said, so is it safe to say that Wendell is your boyfriend, and she said you might want to ask Wendell.
And she also said, not to flip you out, she said she thinks she's falling in love with you.
And she doesn't think you're falling in love with her. She thinks your relationship is a little superficial, just sex.
Because that's all you do is just bang her.
Wow. Well, how long have we known each other now? It's been, what, less than a month?
Less than a month, I know, but...
Yeah.
Hey, Rob, rewind the tape so Wendell can hear that. Where Juicy Lucy said that she loves him.
Very good.
And while you're doing that, I got a message.
Here you go. Listen up, Wendell.
That's not going to count.
Oh, I'm sorry. That doesn't count.
That's a shame.
I'm sorry.
Because I was going to ask Wendell if he knew the sponsor. Wendell, do you know who sponsors our farts?
Had that been an actual fart, that would have been brought to you by www.egars.com.
Right.
Right. On the planet.
You're right.
Way to go, Wendell.
They've got a plug anyway. Wendell, would you say that there's any chance that you are falling in love with Lucy?
There's a little spark there, but I wouldn't take it quite that far yet. And I know I sound like the stereotypical guy. I got to admit, also, the Superman similarities end here at the car, too. Arctic, no, it's got no air conditioning, and it's also got no door locks. But
see, he's more concerned about Superman's house than about Juicy Lucy.
Yeah, I can tell you right now.
Well,
you know,
somewhere in there, there was a joke about, you know, the sex and Superman and all that, but we already got into trouble for all that months ago, so never mind.
It's good that Wendell's on the phone. Wendell, tape deck 2 in the studio isn't taping.
Smack it hard.
Oh, no, all right, well, then we don't have the tape.
The, whatever she said did not stick to the tape.
Oh. All right, well, then we don't have it on tape, Wendell. Listen, what is your response? I'm sure she's listening now. Juicy Lucy said she believes she is falling in love with you.
Oh,
What is your response?
My response is, no wonder her phone was busy. I'm going to have to talk to her in person about that. I'm intrigued. I'm flattered.
Well, I like the way Wendell's playing it.
Do you care for her?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
You guys are having, besides the sex, Wendell, are you guys having a good time?
Yeah.
Have you thought about have you taken her to a movie or anything?
No.
You just go over there and bang her?
Basically.
Well, have you thought about maybe doing some more stuff with her?
Like what?
Take her to a movie? Take her out to dinner?
No, just the other day we were talking about watching the leaves change or something like that. Oh. No, the point is banging, right?
A drive.
Yeah, Wendell, but
when we get tired and sore, then we'll think about that. But in the meantime, it's real good.
Oh, my God.
All right, Wendell.
All right, stud.
You play it. Boy, this guy has gone from the big drought to now that's all. Why take her out?
Well, take her out, Wendell. Take her on a real date.
I'll do that.
All right, see ya.
I'll do that. Thanks, guys.
All right, bye-bye. See you later.
Bye.
Take her on a real date before you two get tired and sore.
Gross.
Good thing we checked.
Hey, Juicy Lucy, call back. I'd like your response.
It would be interesting to see how she'd be. He was not repelled by the idea that she may be falling in love with him.
No, he wasn't.
He did not, however, embrace it either.
No, I mean...
Which is okay. I mean,
certainly. There's lots of ways to play that. You could say, oh, gosh, I'm flattered. I really like you. I think I could love you. I mean, that's a nice way of committing without committing.
Right. He said there's a spark there.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, if a guy says that.
Yeah, the spark goes mainly when he's bagging her.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like that. But maybe things will get better after they get tired and sore.
Let me see if it's Juicy Lucy. Hello?
I'm trying to get on the air.
Oh, this is not Juicy Lucy, is it?
No.
But right now, probably when we get tired and sore, we'll go out to the cinema. And until that time... we're just going to bang.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yo, what up, Mr. 40?
Hey, Mr. 40.
Hey, 40, how you doing?
Hey, man, it should be like who I'm doing. Lucy, Juicy Lucy, the last night, me and Juicy Lucy.
What, 40?
Last night, I was with Juicy Lucy.
Oh, this is not Mr. 40.
This is a 40 imposter.
Yeah, has to be.
Right. It's a bogus Mr. 40.
We were duped by the girl, but we weren't duped by the 40 imitator.
Gotcha. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, I need to talk to Don and Mike.
Yeah, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, listen, I want to say Juicy Lucy has to be the biggest idiot. I mean, why are girls this day so crazy that they'll just bang some guy without even the guy don't even take her out on a date?
Well, maybe the sex is real good.
I guess. Well, I think you're kind of selling yourself short, eh?
Are you in any kind of relationship now?
No.
Well, maybe you're bitter.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Don't judge.
Yeah. Listen, it's been a long time for Wendell. If he's happy, you know, obviously she's happy.
And it's obvious Wendell's talking the tough guy with us.
Yeah,
you know, when in fact they probably have some wonderful times together, you know, besides just being tired and sore.
No, I believe they've done nothing.
Yeah. Well, I think there's got to be some conversation there.
Oh boy, that sex was good.
Ask me a Marlboro.
Maybe you're right.
What time's wrestling come on?
I'll tell you right now, this was some of the best sex we ever had. I gotta get going. I gotta run.
Hello, John and Mike show. Hello.
Oh, we'll see. This is Wendell. Is there a chance I could come over tonight?
Didn't he spend the night in her house the first time, though?
Yeah, I think so. Yes. I think they did. They spent the weekend together. I think they just were like rabbits.
Hello.
I'm Mike.
Yeah.
How you doing? Hey, Don, we should call you Dr. Frankenstein. I think you created a monster here in Wendell. He's an animal.
Wendell has changed.
Yeah.
I mean, Wendell has gone from, you know, famine to feast. Absolutely.
He's an animal.
Yes, he's a...
I can't stop my sexual urges. No time for dating. Has to be sex.
Bang her hard.
No time for dinners out.
Come on, good and sore.
When sex is at hand.
I'm good and sore. Jesus Christ.
Maybe we'll go out and do something.
With Monster Tom.
Listen, hello. What's her name again? Juicy Lucy.
Juicy Lucy.
Lucy is Wendell Hall. Are you tired and sore? How about a movie tonight? That'll be like 3 years from now.
I didn't like show.
Hey, it's Lucy.
Hey, Lucy.
Lucy.
How are you?
Is this really Lucy?
Yes, this is really Lucy.
Is it really Juicy Lucy?
It's absolutely really Juicy Lucy.
We're just a little shaky after the woman imposter and the Mr. 40 imposter.
What did the girl say? I didn't hear that.
Oh, it was an hour ago. We had a girl call, a guy call, pretend to be a girl. Really fooled us.
Oh, okay.
All right, so Juicy Lucy, did you hear Wendell?
Yes, I did.
And what is your response?
Well, my response is, you know what? I'll put it this way. When I went out on the date with Wendell, okay, I felt so bad for the guy. You know,
You know what? Hold on, Juicy, hold on. I believe we're gonna get into a situation here. Can you hold on?
Sure.
I mean, you don't have to stay on hold. You give us a number, we'll call you back.
Okay.
All right, hold on, Juicy Lucy.
All right.
Hey, Rob, get her number, because I got the feel we're in for the big kiss off here.
You think she's gonna dump Wendell based on that?
Yeah. I mean, that was my gut feeling. It was when I first went out with him.
Really?
Yeah. Well, that's. You know, if we're playing cards right now, I'd fold right now. I'd say, that's it.
Yeah.
I'm out of this hand.
So you're going to try to get Wendell on the line with her?
Yeah. Yeah. First, I want to hear what she has to say.
Okay.
And then either way, if it's good or it's bad.
What's the matter? You don't want to wait till you're tired and sore?
Put her on with Wendell. All right, someone get her number. All right, this Juicy Lucy thing will play out.
I'm Superman.
In just a second. In the meantime, you know what we need? We need a caller number 100. Oh, and hold on. Dennis is on the line, too. Hi, Dennis.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike.
Hi, Dan.
Hi, Dennis.
Hey, I just want to let you know that I'm going to be in a film.
What film?
Hasn't been set yet.
Night of the Living Dead 5?
No, actually, it's about dwarf vampires.
Dwarf vampire. Dan, hey, call back, because I need to talk about your trip to go to that porno movie anyway.
Okay,
call back.
What, half hour?
Yeah, call back when we're done with Lucy.
Okay. Thank you, and Mike.
Yeah, Dennis.
You work out good. Hey, they play great this year.
Hey, F you, Dennis.
Right, bye, Dennis.
F-U-Q!
All right, bye. And there he goes again. Now I'm pissed at him again.
Yeah. Listen,
clear these lines out. Be the 100th caller right now.
Good luck with that movie, Dwarf Vampires.
You really want to get him.
Yeah.
You know. Good luck growing that hand.
Oh, God.
877. Good luck with those teeth.
Hey, good Red Sox.
Good luck with those feet. 877-365-3636.
Dwarf sweating vampires.
He's the 100th caller now. Good luck.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And listen, if it's any help to you, I think you did the right thing.
Really? You're not just saying that.
No, I mean it. Really. But you two didn't get along. You said it yourself. All you ever did was fight.
You're right. Thank you. That's all we ever did. I'm telling you, we fought and fought, and then we had great sex.
They'll see you in Toledo. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, I forgot the jingle, but we want to say hi to some of our affiliate stations. Starting right here, Washington, D.C., WJFK FM.
Right.
Duncan, Oklahoma.
Duncan?
Duncan, Oklahoma.
I didn't know we were on a Duncan.
The X. WXCA. Worcester, Mass. WORC. And Portland, Oregon. Guy Talk. KGUY.
Duncan, Oklahoma.
Right.
Who knew?
Way to go, Westwood One.
O-K-L-A-H-O-M-A, Oklahoma.
Call 100 time right now. Hello, John and Mike Show.
Hello, I am caller 100.
Yes, you are. And what be thy name?
This is Becky.
Where are you from, Becky?
I'm from Manassas.
Becky, you won the Fugitive Friday prize pack with the Survivor hat. Late Night with Letterman shirt. The Fugitive fanny pack and the Bette Midler CD sampler, courtesy of CBS. Don't miss the Fugitive. Friday nights at 8 on CBS, starring Tim Daly.
Oh.
Oh, I'm just so happy about the Bette Midler CD. You just wouldn't believe it.
There you go.
Okay, does everybody think that was a good read?
Uh-huh.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Well, because they just yelled at me and said that they needed one time with me reading that without
right.
saying that the Bette Midler CD sucks.
You sold
Don't
it.
They understand that they're all good reads?
Well, apparently they won't take, you know, we have to send tapes to the companies that give us this junk to
right.
give away
mm-hmm.
to prove that we've actually given it away.
Right.
It's called an air check. And apparently every time I've read this, I've said it's a pile of CBS junk.
Yes, when you make a comment, a disparaging remark about Ms. Midler.
Right.
Like that.
So thank you, and thank you for listening to the show.
I love your show. It's awesome.
Thanks. We do appreciate
and
it.
And that woman was legitimately excited about the Bette Midler giveaway.
Or was that tongue-in-cheek?
Was she being sarcastic?
Were you being sarcastic or serious?
Actually sarcastic, but if it'll help you with the guys at CBS,
No, I was serious. Don't worry. The tape has stopped now. So, I mean, the tape for CBS has stopped.
Well, that's good, but I think we could probably palm it off on them as legitimate.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, good. Excellent. Thank you. Hold
Happy
on,
to
please.
Help.
Thanks.
Have you seen the promo for the new Bette show where she grabs her boobs?
Yes.
Yeah.
Looks nice.
Big fun.
So, listen. Oh, speaking of ass, anal monologues. I swear to God, I'm not just trying to lead you guys on with this every day, but it looks like it's not going to happen today.
Those are stories about your hole.
Like when we did the vaginal monologues and the breast monologues.
Buzz and I could fill a four-hour show talking about our anal monologues.
I'm hoping that tomorrow we'll be able to fit it in, because right now we still only have 8 acts that are confirmed for the talent show. And we are looking for a girl to come down and give birth to a hot dog.
Yes, that was the idea that was proposed by the one lady who didn't like the prize.
And that prize is a $1,500 gift certificate to the Sharper Image. Giving it away tomorrow for the talent show, courtesy of 15 Days of 007 on TBS Superstation. Don't miss 15 Days of 007 every night through October 15th. He's the man, he's the legend, he's 007.
All right.
Now, let's call back Juicy Lucy to get her side of what Wendell had to say.
Good.
Like I told you, if I'm betting that what Wendell said is her ticket out of the relationship.
Huh.
But maybe I'm wrong.
Be a shame.
I think she's in love with him and she's going to stay with him.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I think they might not be telling us the whole truth either. I think he might be a sensitive guy.
Oh, that's wonderful. Do I have a hot dog?
Hello?
Juicy Lucy.
Yes.
Hi, Don and Mike again. All right, hi. Thank you for waiting. So, obviously, you heard Wendell. We told Wendell that you said you thought you were falling in love with him.
Yeah. Hey, and listen, you know what? Wendell just called me, and we're going out on a date.
Oh,
there you go.
Preemptive strike.
Preemptive strike by Wendell Hall.
I would have folded unnecessarily. I mean, I would have been a big loser on this hand.
Yeah, because Lucy was about to say something, and I wasn't sure what it was going to be.
Okay. And I cut you off. What were you going to say?
Okay. Came on the show to go out on a date with Wendell.
You felt sorry for him.
I was so poor at the time, okay? I just needed the $250,
right?
I didn't think that I would have these feelings for Wendell. We went out on the date. We had a really good time. And I thought, oh, my God, this poor guy has not had sex in 13 years.
Right.
It's my civic duty to sleep with him. He's a very nice guy. And, I mean, I used to be a Peace Corps volunteer. I'm compassionate like this, you know? So I was like, he's a nice guy. I'll give him, some...
Did you ever, F any Aborigines or anything like that? Or, I mean, any of the people that you would go over to the... you ever F any Indians? Were you ever in India doing the Peace Corps work?
No, I was in Africa. But
in Africa, okay.
Oh, so you really went over there?
Yeah.
Oh, very good. Good for you.
So,
good for you. Can I have a cup of coffee?
So we had a good time, you know, and we did it. And then we saw each other again and did it again. And I'll admit, I'm a very horny chick, okay?
Yeah.
And I didn't think that Wendell would be able to keep up with me. But my God, he's insane. The guy wants to screw all the time. And so do I.
And so do you. And so do you. Like, what's your record so far?
What do you mean?
Like, how many times in a night?
Like, all night. Like, times of orgasm or...
How many times have you had intercourse? Like, finished, you know, started, finished, started, finished, started, finished. How many times?
In one night?
Yeah. One night.
Yeah, one night.
Eight?
Oh, my God. Hold on. Now, is that eight for you or eight for Wendell?
Eight for me.
All right.
I don't know about Wendell. I guess he's doing okay.
All right, but when it's his time, how many for Wendell?
I
I guess five. I mean, I'm more of the...
Five.
Wow.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so I'm not saying, you know, oh, he's such a jerk. He just comes over and bangs me because I definitely want it.
That's incredible.
So when Wendell called you with this preemptive strike before we got you back on the air, what did he say? So he told you he's going to take you out?
He said, why don't you come over to my house? I'll make you pizza.
Well,
okay.
That's good.
So yeah,
you'll have.
No, I mean, I'm not saying that he. You know, it's definitely my side too. Okay, because I like to have sex with Wendell. He's very hot.
Listen,
you wouldn't think it, but he totally is.
So good for Wendell's head.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
which one?
Yeah, really, yeah, both of them.
But Wendell is very sexy.
You're in love with Wendell.
I don't know.
No, you said you might be falling in love.
Well, you like him, and I think that's good, and I think he likes you, too.
All right.
I mean, you're very...
It's just, you know, sometimes when we're not doing it, I think, oh, my God, we have never been out on a double-wide date. I'm such a little slut.
Has he ever effed you with his gun?
With his gun?
Yeah. You know, he's a big handgun owner.
You know, pistol effing.
No. Okay. Oh, my God, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Oh, we're talking about our dark side.
Oh, great. I don't know. Maybe.
Just something we've always pictured goes on in Wendell's life.
He has a gun?
Before, you don't know that Wendell owns guns?
I have no idea.
You two should talk.
Yeah, you should maybe have
a
little more.
Talk. We just screw
up
the
time. Well, listen, Wendell is a very nonviolent guy, but he does own about 1 million guns.
Yeah, Wendell's,
really?
Yeah, Wendell's definitely
I've been over
the...
to his apartment. I didn't see any guns. Good.
He's definitely the NRA.
Ah, great.
You might want to ask him about that.
Well, yeah, okay. That's a good idea.
Yeah, you know, so you're just going to go over there.
That's fine.
You're going to go over there, eat pizza, and bang him.
All right, well, listen, whatever. You're falling in love with him. He obviously is very sweet on you.
And you sound like a really nice person, and we know Wendell's a nice person.
I am
person.
Very nice, and so is Wendell. But, I mean, and as far as Wendell banging me all the time, it's not just him. I mean, I partake, definitely. And usually he comes over and I jump his bones.
Well, that's good.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Especially after a 13-year drought.
Two horny people.
Yeah.
All right. All right, Juicy Lucy. Well, listen, just don't break his heart.
He's going to break my heart.
Oh,
no.
I don't think so.
Not a chance.
I hope it lasts. I hope we see you at our company Christmas party.
Okay.
Yeah. With Wendell, on Wendell's arm. Bob, don't look at me like that.
Okay.
As opposed to some other part.
All right. Thank you, Juicy Lucy.
Well, thank you, Donna Mike. Right.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. What did he do?
Rob just gave me a look. Rob gives me a look when he questions my sincerity.
All right, who wants to bet right now? What is today, October 4th?
Uh-huh.
Who wants to bet on if not, Wendell brings her to the Christmas party?
I'm going to say a definitive yes. I think they're soulmates. I really do.
I'll bet they get married.
Okay.
Before the Christmas party?
No, just ultimately.
I'd say... Well, just bet on the Christmas party, though.
Please. Oh, definitely at the Christmas party, yeah.
Buzz?
I say yes also. I think they'll both be there.
It's awfully close. It's only what?
Do you think she's going to dump him?
I think it's going to be the other way around.
You think he's going to dump her?
Yeah.
You got a weird, weird sense about stuff like this. I mean, these kind of bets... I don't like betting against you because this... However, you've been right about bets.
I want to say this. I don't feel strongly enough to bet money.
Okay.
Or strongly enough to bet anything humiliating.
Let's just leave it out there and see what happens.
And if I lose, I'll be happy. If I come to the Christmas party and Wendell's there with Juicy Lucy...
Oh, I know. I mean, you arrange the whole thing,
right? I'd be happy to lose the bet.
Mm-hmm.
I just got the feeling she's...
No, I knew you've been right about this.
She's going to get a little clingy.
Yeah.
You know, he's a non-clingy guy.
He's a loner.
He is.
He's a loner.
How can she not know that Wendell has about 1,000 guns in his house?
Yeah, it's like that cartoon when all the guns come out.
Right.
But it'll be interesting to see what happens. But I don't see that coming. But you've done that before where all of a sudden, you know.
I'd love nothing better than to be wrong, of course.
Wendell, we get to the Christmas party at like 7:30. Wendell's already stinking drunk.
Hello.
So she couldn't make it.
Like you was last year. In his three-piece suit.
Right.
When Frida and I made the mistake of showing up early, and the only guy there was Wendell. Well, hello.
Oh, good evening,
May I buy the missus a drink? We had a good time with Wendell.
Yeah, it wasn't too far away last year either. Maybe they'll have it in Philadelphia this
Hello,
year.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I got a question for Wendell. You guys never asked the official question.
What?
As to whether or not he got it in the cornhole.
That's a very good, we didn't, and we should have.
If Wendell does it in the no-no, you mean?
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
Cornhole. Very sensitively, sir.
All right, we'll ask him. Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hi.
Don and Mike, how you doing?
Hi, we're doing great, thanks.
Calling for your talent show.
Oh, tomorrow, great. What is your talent?
I am a clown, and I do pornographic balloon figurines of people.
Attaboy.
Come on down.
Fantastic.
That's exactly what we're looking for. A clown. Now, will you be dressing as a clown?
If you would like, I can dress as a clown.
In full regalia.
A clown?
Full regalia, the wig and the hat and everything.
Oh, everything.
A clown who makes pornographic balloons.
I'm thinking group picture.
Come on down.
Yeah.
That's not a problem.
Come
guys.
On down. Hold on a second. Chuck Broyhill will tell you about it.
Gotcha.
Oh, man. Okay. Magician and a clown.
Great. Hello, Don and Michael. If only we had that girl who would give birth to hot dogs.
I know. What a tease.
Mm-hmm. Although we have two girls who are going to nurse themselves.
Yes, this is true.
That ain't bad.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget the guy who's going to fart out his eyes. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Okay. Hey, I wanted to call. I'm breaking one of your rules. I've never called. I am absolutely a listener and not a caller. But you mentioned something the other day, and it struck me. I thought a long time ago when you mentioned about peeing off your deck that you were nuts. And last year I was at Whitetail mountain biking, and I peed off about a 40-foot rock outcropping. It was like finding religion. I absolutely am in tune with your enthusiasm, and right. I had to call, and I know I'm going back a couple days.
That's all right.
I had to say that I absolutely am in tune with you.
You get a free pass. Thank you, my friend.
Good.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
I know you didn't want to, let him down easy, but you would have told him that when you're really doing it, you're doing it off your own property.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, not in
public property.
No, yeah.
I don't go out to Jellystone or Yellowstone. Jellystone is what they called it on the Flintstones.
No, Jellystone
Yogi Bear.
Park.
Yogi Bear. Yogi Bear, right.
Jellystone Park, Mr. Ranger.
I don't go to Jellystone and stand up on a rock and take a look.
Are you tempted to?
Oh, now I am, Buzz.
Of course.
Now I can be fixated on.
It's having your own property, doing it off your own deck.
That's what makes it so special.
That's the thrill.
Hello, Don and Mike.
How you doing?
How you doing?
Hey, I can't give birth to a hot dog, but I could come down and squat and take a big growler.
No.
I can do it.
I'm sure you're good, but sorry, that's no talent.
I want to eat some hamburger helpful tonight and take care of you boys.
No, thank you.
Now we'll have to pass on that one.
Thank you.
Right. Bye-bye.
Call me back if you need me.
Okay, we will.
Yeah, if we need the big growler.
The growler. Hold on, we got to do this. We will be right back.
He's the Don and Mike Show.
Well, I have a microphone, and you don't.
So you will listen to everything!
Two of God's little brown gems, Don and Mike.
There we are. Tomorrow talent show, you know about that.
Yeah, it's getting better every minute.
That's going to be happening throughout the show. Friday, the girl, Jillian,
with the gigantic boobs.
Oh, yeah. The Fox weather girl on Fox NFL Sunday.
One Howie Long can't look at.
Right. She's going to be on the show Friday. Or no, is she not?
No, it will be Howie Long, according to Rudolfo.
Oh, all right. Howie Long is just as good.
Always a pleasure. He doesn't have as nice breasts.
Well...
Well, speak for myself.
Well, speak for yourself. Howard Long, Holo, on the show. Hold on, Broyhill's got something for us.
Oh,
you know, how can someone who passes so much gas be unable to perform on the air?
I don't think you've ever farted on the air or has been sponsored.
Yeah,
he has one. Bring him in every time. I think that should be his homework assignment, that when you get the urge, I mean, all the time. Are they silent all the time?
Not all the time. I thought today was going to be really good because I had chili.
Well, I know you had chili from being out in the hallway a minute ago.
Yeah.
Was that you?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah,
so it's
sorry.
Holo on Friday.
Yes.
All right, so Holo on Friday.
That was a real sincere apology from Charlie. You don't see that very often.
When we do our Pick the Pros of the Scab and Bleed. Also Friday, what's his name? Ken Osmond, who is Eddie Haskell.
Oh.
He's going to be in studio with us, and we're going to give him the sex quiz.
Fantastic.
Lots of great stuff happening this week on the show. Joining us now is a major effing star. Hello? Hello? You know,
what happened to the major effing star?
Let me make sure the phones are on. Phones are on. Says line one, Dennis. Hello? Oh, he's just missed his chance.
You know, he has one opportunity. Yeah. He was sort of banned a while back, and then he has an opportunity.
I don't know what happened. Hello, Don and Mike.
He'll call during the news.
Hey, radio guys. How you doing?
Hi, we're doing great, thanks.
Yes, sir. I'd like to know if I could still get on to that talent contest.
Of course you can. What is your talent?
Well, what I do is I take a bunch of words and flip them around to show you how words turn.
Explain.
You didn't get that.
No, we didn't.
No, that might have been why we're being silent right now.
He called once already.
I did.
Yeah.
And he busted me on the phone.
Yeah.
Why? Why did you bust him? Is he going
to... I said, give me an example.
I said that I take words and flip them around to show you how words turn.
Okay. All right.
I got
you. Oh, you know, it was so subtle, we all missed it.
All right, I didn't even delete that one out. Let them do that at NEW if they want. Yeah. Who cares? Hello, Don and Mike show.
How you doing?
Goodbye, how you doing, guy? Hi, Don and Mike.
Hey, it's Lucy again.
Hi, Juicy Lucy.
Hey, I just want to say about Wendell and his gun thing. I went to his apartment, and there's no evidence of guns because the place is such a disgusting mess.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yes, it's horrible.
Look under one of the piles of clothes.
Yeah, there's clothes, there's evidence of a cat, but no cats.
Well, you lift one of those cats up, and you'll find a bazooka.
Okay. Listen, the guy seriously has some guns.
Wendell can tell you. He'll tell you what he's got.
I know. Well, we talked about guns. I didn't know he had thousands of them, though.
Well, that could have been an exaggeration. He has hundreds of them.
Hundreds, thousands. Okay. But he needs a maid, the poor thing.
All right. Goodbye, okay. Juicy Lucy.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Very good. That's Juicy Lucy going over to Wendell's for a Wendell's homemade pizza.
Hello, Don. Mike's show.
Win $10,000 every weekday. Just listen for the $10,000 song of the day. Y92 KGBY. I just got a thing in the mail.
Who is this?
I'm just a listener.
Is this
got
the
a thing in the mail? 10,000 every day. It's got all the little stupid songs they're gonna play every day and tell you when to call.
Isn't this the Mike Landis guy?
I think this is the Morris Jones guy, Mike Landis guy.
No, you're wrong. This was a guy that was gonna take a growler on you.
Oh, you called right back?
Well, not really.
Where are you calling from?
Why?
Because I want to know what market you're calling from.
I'm calling from KHTK territory.
Sacramento.
Yes, sir.
Now, Charlie's
not
coming in again.
Sorry again.
That's all right.
This guy gets on the air more than anybody
That's
who calls.
True.
Charlie, love you, baby.
All right, I'm going to hang up on him then, okay? All right, goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don, I've got a great celebrity sighting for you.
Really?
Yeah, and I really did get to mention the word Don and Mike, although it really wasn't in the context.
All right, who's the celeb, please?
I'm a pilot for American Airlines. I fly MD-80s, and we had Larry King going from New York down to Miami about 2 weeks ago.
Now, you know what? There's one.
Yeah.
We'd really be interested to hear what the reaction is.
Okay, well, here's what I did. My real name is Don, and one of the guys that I fly with, his first name's Michael. And so a lot of times we'll just goof around and say, yeah, we're Don and Mike, and do that sort of shtick.
On an MD-80.
Yeah, well, Larry King gets on the plane, and one of the things that we're told to do is when you have a celebrity that you do want to kind of schmooze him a bit, make sure you greet him. So when he got on the plane, we were told beforehand that Larry King was going to be on the plane. We got on. I was the guy that was greeting him at the door, and I said, I'm Don. And I looked at him, and I go, this here's Mike. And the look on his face when I said that, it was like, oh, my God, if they actually tracked me down. It was pretty funny.
That's great.
You don't believe him?
No.
Why are you shaking your head?
Because that's how we normally get sucked into, you know, these calls. You know, we've been burned before on the... It's been that kind of a day. I'm on guard after the other two.
Hey, Mike.
Yes, sir.
Mike, listen, in order to allay your fears, I'll hang up right now, and I won't say another word.
All right, goodbye. He could have been on the level.
He could have been on the level.
I think so. Could have been on the level. Hello, Don and Mike show.
How you doing?
How many planes have you been on where the pilot and the co-pilot were standing at the front door during pre-flight?
On the other hand, how many planes have you been on with somebody, I mean, and he doesn't deserve this fame, but with someone like Larry King who maybe would really get that treatment as he came on the plane?
Mm.
Maybe.
You never know.
It's possible.
Right?
God, it pisses me off that they would kiss that frog's ass like that.
Yeah, it'd be very, very disturbing.
On the plane.
I, you know, it's a curse, Don.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
It is.
What do you mean, the fact that you don't trust anybody?
Yes, it's horrible.
Radar.
I mean, what's a real nice guy? You know, I love pilots. I mean, I think it's very cool to talk to pilots. And if he really is a pilot, I feel bad about it. But it just sounded too out there.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Buddies.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, what are we doing for Buzz's birthday?
What are we doing for Buzz's birthday? Are we having some nudes?
We're not even doing anything until next week, because your birthday isn't until the weekend, right?
Saturday, right?
Yeah, we're not doing anything until next week.
Oh, it's going to be after his birthday.
Yes.
Well, happy birthday, Buzz.
Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, hi.
I'm doing fine.
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing?
What can we do for you?
I want to get in that talent show.
Yes, what's your talent?
Well, I have an overly sized appendage.
Wait, what do you mean? Your penis?
My penis.
Oh, goodbye.
Yeah, see you later.
All right, only serious calls for now about the talent show.
Thank you very much.
All right, listen, Mike, we have time for one quick 60-second interview before we have to go to Buzz Burbank. And it's an interview that, frankly, we've been waiting to do since we received the press release on April 10th.
Okay.
Oh. Red Sox predicted to win World Series.
Dennis will be happy about this.
Here's a curveball for you. Even though the baseball season just started, the Red Sox have been declared winners of the World Series. That's according to the 3DO computer company, who used a computer simulation game to create the entire 2000 season.
Fantastic.
Not only that, the Red Sox will beat the Atlanta Braves 4-2.
Wow.
Sammy Sosa will have 59 home runs.
He had 50.
Mark McGwire will have 54.
I mean, he didn't have any, no. Nearly as many.
And this company actually sent out press releases, so we're going to call him right now.
You know, I'm glad I bailed out when I did. It wasn't as painful the end of the season. I don't know if this is the same company, but one computer company that says it's never been wrong about anything predicted that Rudy would win Survivor, and they were wrong. I wonder if this is the same company.
3DO is a company that makes video games, makes sports video games. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, 3DO.
Uh-huh.
Hi, this is the Don and Mike Show, and we're doing a live national radio show right now. I hope you'll go on the air with us. We'd like to talk to Mike Myers.
Mike Myers, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, not the Austin Powers guy. Do you have a guy named Mike Myers who works there?
You from where?
Don and Mike Show. We're on the air right now.
Okay.
A national radio show?
Hi, baby. Yes, I thought the Red Sox were going to win.
I thought the Red Sox would win the World Series. I knew it all along because they were surrounded by red-hot magma.
You're wrong, ass. That's Scott.
That's right. That's right.
I predict they're going to go all the way. They will vanquish the Atlanta Braves 4-2.
But Dr. Evil.
Yes, I am evil.
But Dr. Evil.
Yes. Yes, wow. Scott.
Hello. Is this Mike Myers?
It isn't.
Who's this?
This is Kate.
Okay. Hi, listen. Is this the lady we were just talking to?
No, that was receptionist.
Okay. Hi, listen. My name is Don. This is my friend Mike.
We're hello.
A national radio show right now on the CBS Westwood One radio network. And I'll be honest with you. I don't care about baseball. But,
okay.
But my friend Mike, who I've worked with for 15 years.
Hi.
A big fan.
I'm a big Red Sox fan, and I am just devastated.
He loves the Red Sox. And
I was going on your computer printout all year.
We have a press release that you guys sent out on April 10th that says that the 3DO computer company has a definite prediction. The Red Sox have been declared winners of the World Series.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, what's the deal with that? I'm dying over here.
I mean, listen, between this and the fact that Sports Illustrated had them on the cover,
I'm really ready to open a vein.
Well, statistically, they should have won.
Well, what do you mean, statistically?
if you go by the statistics and you go by the lineups at the beginning of the season,
don't you
which is
know
all we had,
how I got my hopes up? I looked at the cover of Sports Illustrated and I looked at your printout and I said they're going to win the World Series.
What well, hey, we're in good company
they
then.
They didn't even have a chance.
What do you have to say?
They suck.
What do you have to say to Mike and to the other Red Sox fans listening?
Right.
Hey, you got to be loyal to a team.
No, that's no, no, no. not good enough, lady.
Sure it is.
What does the three-year company...
Hey, I'm an A's faithful myself.
I don't care. Oh, good for you. What, your little computer? What, your little computer? I bet they didn't even have them in the postseason.
What does the 3DO computer company have to say to Mike and to the other Red Sox fans?
Yeah.
Two simple words will suffice.
Next year?
No, those aren't the words. Two words. Think of what they are for all the people that read your computer printout and believed that they were going to go to the World Series.
Two words. I'll spiff you the first one. I'm.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's
very all good. I needed.
And why are you sorry? I'm sorry. I demand more.
Actually, I'm not sorry.
Oh! You're a heartless monster.
Oh. Hey, what can I say? Computers have no feelings.
Oh, no. Well, you're just like them.
God, that's I'll tell you something. I think it's hilarious. That's the reason we pulled this out and saved it all the way since April, because we knew.
Don likes to save anything positive on the Red Sox. You started doing that about 5 years ago. He saves anything positive about the Red Sox at the beginning of the season. Well, normally, like...
It's such a small collection of stuff.
Yeah, well, no, you'd be surprised.
No,
every year. Every year, somebody's coming out and saying, hey, Red Sox are going to be great this year, and they always suck.
They do. They're the worst.
Hey, just at least you're not a Cubs fan.
Don is a Cubs fan.
Was a Cubs fan.
Was, yeah, you're not a baseball
was.
Fan anymore.
Was, I'm not into baseball anymore.
Oh, well then, why are we even talking?
Because I'm a Red Sox fan.
Because he is, and because, you know, he's the type of dopey Red Sox fan that in July when they win five in a row, he comes in and he gets all excited.
Hey, we're going to win.
We won five
in a row, I'm a dopey Red Sox fan.
You do, come on, you do.
I am, of course, I'll do it next year, too.
Hey, next year's going to be a lot different. But officially from the 3DO computer company, you got to hear it, Mike.
Strike that beam.
They're sorry.
Hey, on paper, they should have won.
Yep, you're absolutely right. On paper, they should have won with Brian Daubeck.
They're sorry.
Right.
What more do you want this lady?
We're
Manny Alexander. I tell you, 204 batting average on paper. Boy, he's looking real good.
What more do you want her to say?
On paper, that Jeff Passero.
Hey, are you going to get an apology out of Sports Illustrated?
You know what? Yeah. That might not be a bad idea.
Hey, Robbie?
Yeah.
Let's do call Sports Illustrated.
All right, they're in New York.
Not now. Call them tomorrow. I'm too tired now.
Yeah, they all went home.
Yeah, do it tomorrow, though.
Right,
but you see, you guys have a bit more credibility because Sports Illustrated is just a bunch of dumb schmucks at typewriters. You guys,
we backed it up.
You're a computer company.
And on paper, I don't know what you put into that computer.
Well, hey, we are all using the same staff that everyone else is.
I'll tell you, on paper, I think they suck, too.
So what, did you guys make a baseball game this year or something for computers?
Yeah, we made a baseball game, High Heat Baseball, and we use the same stats that everyone else does.
If Mike was to go buy that game and play it on his computer, would the Red Sox win the World Series?
Well, what we did was we ran the simulation, we run the season simulation about 10, 12 times, and it comes out consistently, not every single time, but you take, you know, the best of however many times you do it, and the Sox kept coming up again and again.
Huh. Yeah, I think I'll pick up a copy and bring it home for my dog.
Oh.
She said she was sorry.
She
said she took back the I'm sorry.
Oh, that's right.
Remember that?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm really not.
Well, are you really sorry, ma'am?
Yeah, I feel bad for all the Red Sox fans out there.
Mike, there you go.
Okay, then I'll buy your computer game then.
Well, thank you.
And play it if my Red Sox win. Because that's the only way they're going to win.
Exactly.
Yeah, we can agree on that.
Why don't you send it to them half price?
Yeah, actually, you probably find it real cheap right now when everybody's going out and buying football games.
Yeah, right. And besides, the baseball season's over now.
Okay. It is for so many people.
I'll just go to the local computer store and identify myself as the dopey Red Sox fan. Five in a row, break that
thing. I'll go right to the bargain bin.
Hi, Dad.
Very nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Well, I want to give you your props, Mike. You handled that very nicely.
Yeah. I'll tell you, you know why? Because through all of that, I thought she was dead sexy.
We've been holding on to that since April 10th.
Remember the one that was the clipping? The little that one year on the bulletin board? He kept the tiny... A tiny little clipping for the rest
you know
of
how in USA Today they have notes about every team?
Mm-hmm.
One year, a long time ago, Mike just picked out this part where it says the Red Sox this year are going to have their best lineup ever go to the playoffs. I cut it out of the paper and I put it up on the wall.
It might have been the same year we did the bet.
Yeah, it might have been.
I had to dye my hair blonde.
It might have been. It was a beautiful thing. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Donaldo y Miguel. Yes. Augusto.
Right. Hola.
I'm calling about the talent show.
Okay, but only a serious talent, please.
Okay. I guess it was Charlie that answered. I have a lot of extra skin on my scrotum, and I can tie my testicles in a knot.
Come on down.
Bravo.
Come on down.
Sort of doesn't work for radio, but I assume you guys will get the kick out of it. I mean, then I have to show you.
Well, we'll have to use that. We'll have to use our descriptive powers.
Come on down. You can tie your balls in a knot. Yeah.
Not the actual testes themselves, because I think that would be a little too painful, but it's the actual, you know, the sack itself. But yeah, you get
right.
The idea.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah. Hold on, please. See you tomorrow.
Hey, all right. New meaning to the word tie it in a knot.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
How you doing?
Hi.
Hi. My name is Mary. I'm calling from New Jersey, guys. I'm just calling to tell you what a great show you guys have, and thank you for making my afternoon a lot better.
No, God bless you.
Oh, thank you. Bueno.
Ah, same to you, babe.
Bueno.
Como te llamas?
Mario.
Mario.
Okay, Mario. Thank you, Mario.
You're very welcome, guys. Thank you. Keep up the great work.
All right, we shall. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
What was that man saying?
Do it.
Did he want to rob us?
No.
What was that man saying?
Como te llamas? What is that? Give me your wallet now?
Okay.
I got the feeling he was calling from the Big Apple. Hello, Dynamite.
Hey, guy, I'm calling for the phone trouble.
Yeah, you're too late.
Yeah, you're too late. And nice comment about the Red Sox.
Let's go to Buzz now. Dennis, we will find out about whatever vampire movie you're going to be in tomorrow, okay?
Yeah. And you better change that. You better get that attitude right.
Let's go right to the news cubicle.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Buzz.
He made it up.
What's your lead made-up story tonight, Buzzy?
Tonight, a liberal media report on the results of last night's debate.
Thank you.
Certainly.
Thank you for
admitting it. Admitting it.
Thank you for presenting that in a professional manner. Suckers. Oh, ye suckers. Thank you, Buzz.
You bet.
Stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned. For news and comments.
Stay news and
coming
comments.
Up
coming
on
up.
The Don and Mike Don Show.
That was very professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot? What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
Remember their secret. F like a whore, but look like the girl next door. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Got that. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Well, experts say it's too early to tell who scored the most points in last night's presidential debate. They say people's initial reactions tend to be emotional and tend to change in the days that follow the debate.
Not mine.
But for what it's worth, here's what I've collected over the course of the day.
I'm not into the argument we had 4 hours ago, though.
That's probably for the best.
I'm officially out of gas.
A panel of five debate coaches has chosen Al Gore as the winner of last night's debate. Surveyed by the Associated Press, their vote was 4-1. Gore was also the clear winner in 3 of 4 polls taken right after the debate. A CBS poll shows Gore won by 56% to 42%.
Listen, no party play it here.
Right.
CBS poll. Come on, be real.
All right. A CNN USA Today Gallup poll went to Gore 48% to 41%.
I think the CBS stock was down again today. I'll check.
Shocker.
The NBC poll had Gore leading Bush 46% to 36%.
Infinity was up half a point, though.
And the ABC poll was too close to call, with Gore at 48% and Bush at 45%.
Mr. Bush did not improve the public's opinion of whether he's prepared to be president. Before and after the debate, 70% of the people believed Gore is ready, but only 54% say Bush is ready.
This is all I'm going to say.
Uh-huh.
We had a nice hour-long argument earlier today.
Yes, we did.
This is all I'm going to say.
Uh-huh.
Hi, check 1, 2, 3, 4. Hi, this is Buff. Hello, this is Vic Tabak. And I never listen to Don and Mike. Who is your talking audience? And I have to tell them what channel they're already listening to.
President Robert Goldthwait.
That's it.
This is Bob K. Goldthwait. I'd rather die in a fiery auto wreck than listen to Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara. My personal friend.
Your president, Bob Goldthwait.
Your theory, just to recap, the country worked perfectly well with anybody in that office.
Even with a moron like Bob Goldthwait.
Bobcat Goldthwait, star of Hot to Trot.
And Shakes the Clown.
Shakes the Clown. Outside the debate, even though he had a ticket to get in, Green Party presidential candidate Ralph Nader was turned away.
Hey, he's got the vish eye. Yeah. Have you seen him interviewed?
Yes.
Yeah.
Have you seen the dead eye on one side and then the spazzo eye on the other side?
Doll's eye.
Doll's eyes.
There was also violence outside the debate last night. A man holding a 3-foot wooden cross got it broken over his head. He was carrying the cross for the death row inmates executed under Texas Governor George Bush. A Gore supporter who had been arguing with Green Party members grabbed the cross and smashed it over the guy's head. Now the TV angle. At one point yesterday, 44 NBC affiliates were planning to carry the Yankees-A's game, and 28 were planning to air the debate. Of the 44 carrying the game, 13 were planning to show the debate on tape delay. Yet another FCC commissioner was saying that all the networks have a fundamental obligation to carry all the debates live.
Does this FCC's commissioner first name start with a G?
No, neither one of them. Neither the one I'm quoting today nor the one yesterday.
Okay, because I just want to send some love out to that one who starts with a G.
Absolutely.
Because I know she listens every day.
Yes, she does.
Hi.
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 How you doing? Fox stood its ground despite the
admonitions. That's a very nervous response on my part because I didn't know who you were talking about. But
you know who I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you? I'll let me write it down.
Really?
Right.
I remember.
It's
a friendly FCC commissioner.
That's the first name.
Oh, okay.
And she was the whole...
Oh, all right, yeah.
Right.
Okay, yeah, well, a good person.
Right, yeah.
We respect,
very nice.
We respect her position.
We sure do.
Means well.
She's a swell lady.
Despite the admonitions of the FCC, Fox stood its ground and won the night in the Nielsen's battle for 18 to 34-year-olds. ABC won the night with households overall, with the debate preceded by Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Hey, the funniest thing about ABC's coverage of the debate, if you watch it, I don't know if it was nationwide or just on Channel 7 in D.C., but they had the audio that was about 3/4 of a second behind the video.
Oh, that's always fun.
It happened. So Al Gore really looked like one of those guys at the House of Presidents because you know, he was kind of shiny looking.
Right.
And I could say the same thing for Bush.
Right.
As each of them was talking and moving,
It was delayed.
The words were coming out like just half a beat later.
They look like Masatoshi Ono, German Bridgestone Firestone. This is our Japanese horror movie.
I hear he's going to be fired, too.
Really?
Oh, that's too bad. He's been a great bit on this show.
Well, he'll be around a little longer. Voters in Alabama will go to the polls November 7th to elect a president and to vote yes or no on interracial marriages.
Well, I can tell you right now what that vote's going to be, Buzz.
Well, it's really a moot point because the U.S. Supreme Court overturned that law 30 years ago, but the law is still on Alabama's books.
It's on Alabama's books. That's unusual.
It bans, and I quote, any marriage between any white person and a Negro or descendant of a Negro, end
that
quote.
That is called, if you live in the Alabama area,
yes,
the Spiewak law.
Many Alabamans are ashamed of the law and want it removed, but one critic of the change says the real idea is to, quote, agitate folks and increase black turnout in the presidential election.
Ah, yes. They're just trying to agitate folks.
Tricky. Thank you. Hold on, Buzz. We got to squeeze this in. We'll be right back.
He's the Don and Mike Show.
I guess I'm old-fashioned, but I don't like to talk on the Senate floor about the kind of stuff that has been funded, the taxpayers' money used for it. Like the woman who smeared herself with chocolate.
Lisa.
And urinated on the stage and invited people to come up and... How to put it delicately, I guess there's no way
Lisa.
To conduct a gynecological
Lisa.
Examination.
There's Lisa.
If it helps, cover their faces with your thumb while you listen. The Don and Mike Show.
Hopefully she'll be back from the abortion tomorrow. I certainly hope so. Let's go back to Newsom content now. With Guy Burnley.
Hi, Donna Mike.
Hi, guys. People love the SUVs. Gas prices go up, they still buy the SUVs. Insurance rates go up, they still buy the SUVs.
Right on.
Tires explode, they still buy the SUVs.
You know, just in case someone's getting in their car late, just let me say that for the record,
you know, that's a joke about Lisa having an abortion.
Of course.
I mean, she might be. She might be. She'd be a prime candidate.
Oh, God.
But I'm just kidding.
You're a kidder.
Because I think lying. Actually her brother was sick today.
You kid because you love.
Right.
That's a good excuse.
When you're going to go down and have an abortion,
yes.
Call up and say, oh, my brother's sick.
You kid because you love.
Right. Hopefully she'll be in tomorrow.
Yeah. Very good. Ford says sales of its Explorer went up in September despite all the exploding tires. And despite the concern that maybe the design of the Explorer made the tires more likely to explode. By the way, a sworn statement's just out that says Firestone knew about the tire problem 3 years before the big recall.
You know, about this design, you know, I'm not siding with one company or the other, but let's think about it. Mm-hmm. The design of the car, okay, you put tires on a car, it clears the body of the car, so there's no, you know, it's not rubbing up against anything.
Right.
How does the design of a car make a tire blow up?
Answer, top heaviness and the degree of top heaviness, the center of gravity. The higher the center of gravity, the more twisting that will occur on the tire.
Well, wouldn't that also happen like if Rosie O'Donnell buys a car?
Absolutely. I mean, you understand what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
If you put 500 pounds in a driver's seat
in a 2 pound sack,
that could also make a tire blow up, right?
Steering and suspension are factors in that also.
Really?
They noticed that although Firestone tires were exploding everywhere, they seemed to be doing more so on the Ford Explorer than any other vehicle.
It seems to me it would have to be pretty significant and pretty severe to make tires blow up. I just think, you know, if a tire's going to blow up, it's because it's a bad tire. Mr. O'Donnell, here's your car.
Thank you. Wonderful. Thank you. Here's a little tip for you. Oh, let me just get myself in here.
The tire blew up, and she has not even turned on the ignition. Thank you, everybody.
In Florida, investigators are trying to find out why a Ford Explorer's seatbelts failed in a crash that killed a bride and injured her groom.
I'm Jock Nassa. It's been a great year for me.
At first, police thought the two weren't wearing their belts on their way from the ceremony to the honeymoon.
What a great guy he is.
They soon discovered the couple was wearing the belts when their SUV flipped over.
Who's that for, Jock Nassar?
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Oh, he's a great guy. Oh, what a great guy he is.
What a great guy he is. The Florida Highway Patrol says it will now investigate the seat belts on Ford Explorers, quote, to reduce the risk of death and injury.
Florida Highway Patrol.
Chips. Whatever happened to the Burger King employee who tainted Whoppers with oven cleaner and spit?
You become chief engineer here?
No. Dateline, the New York State Thruway near Rochester. Daniel Masson admits he did it in exchange.
Oh, I remember this. We tried to call this Burger King and convince no one to go on the air with us.
Very quick hang-ups when we called them.
Yeah.
In exchange for his confession and a promise not to appeal the court's decision, he gets out of prison in less than 3 years, and he gets 5 years probation on top of that. He'll be behind bars at least 6 months for first-degree tampering. Daniel says he saw two fellow employees do similar things over a six-month period.
Sure.
At least one person got sick from ingesting a cleaning product.
This is not the best burger I've ever tasted.
Authorities in Hawaii are asking Whitney Houston to turn herself in for that recently filed drug charge.
Let me see if I have that order correct. Thank you for coming to Burger King. There'll be a Whopper with cheese, pickles, no onions,
correct.
And Clorox.
Yes, please.
Come on, please.
Tasty.
Although authorities in Hawaii won't try to extradite Whitney from the mainland, they say that if she doesn't turn herself in, they will issue an arrest warrant.
Hey, what about that story I heard that Mr. Johnny's going to be her...
He bagged it.
Her attorney.
USA Today reports that Whitney's people have been trying to get Mr. Johnny Cochran of OJ fame, but he's not certified to practice law in the Aloha State. And although he could have served as a consultant on the case, his spokeswoman says he's moving away from criminal law at this point in his career.
Yeah. Yeah. This is Bobby Brown.
Chilling down with the two fat men.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We're hearing some interesting details from an accident at Disneyland that critically injured a four-year-old boy.
Oh, my God, no. Not another one.
Mr. Eisner, we have some bad news for you.
I don't need any more bad news. Have you seen this talk lately?
Boy got pinned under the wheels of the Roger Rabbit cartoon spin ride. Doctors say the boy's condition has improved a little in the past 2 weeks, but that he's still in a coma.
Oh, jeez.
Anaheim police say the boy's father screamed for help 3 times before anyone stepped in. The police report says other parents had tried to help, but were ordered not to by park workers. On the 3rd plea for help, the other parents blew past the Disney employees and freed the boy.
Mr. Eisner.
Yeah.
Mr. Eisner, over. Situation, over. Pick up, please, over.
Well, yeah, hello. What is it? What happened now?
Well, the child is trapped underneath the ride, Mr. Eisner.
Is he dead?
No, he's not dead. Need advice. Are we talking Pocahontas giveaway? Are we talking Aladdin giveaway? Are we talking Hercules giveaway? Over.
All right, give him one of the plastic Lion King cups and another day's pass to the park.
Mr. Eisner, one more thing. His parents are trying to rush towards the tangled metal.
No, customers go near the injured people. I want them all kept away from the injured person.
But Mr. Eisner, the young boy does look like he's in a great amount of pain. Over.
Then we'll get the proper authorities there. Give him the Lion King cup. I don't have time to be busy. I'm skinning an antelope for my pants.
Mr. Eisner, as we speak, I'm eyeballing the family right now. I believe the father wears a size 10 and a half E.
Yes.
I believe the wife wears a size 7 and a half C.
All right, get him the goofy sneakers. Get him the goofy sneakers. Get him the Lion King plastic drink cup and the pass to tomorrow's park. And, all right, we'll pay the medical bills.
What if the child dies, sir?
You know the drill.
Four.
See you later.
But the plugs are over.
Right. Thank you very much. Way to get to me quickly. The hippo hat for you.
Thank you, Mr. Eisner.
You're welcome.
Buzz, hold on.
All right.
We've got to do the stop there right now, Buzz.
Yes, you do.
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And smack you. Don and Mike.
Buzz, we're running short on time. Let me take one phone call. It might be a call for tomorrow's talent show.
Oh, good.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
Lovely. Calling from New Jersey, I just wanted to tell you that I love the show. Just started listening to you guys about a month ago.
Hold on, Mike's got a message for you. Just came running into the studio. It was late for this break. Go ahead.
Great.
Yeah, that's
lovely.
That's sponsorable. That's Egar's, www.egars.com.
Yep.
The hottest cigar site on the planet. Mike, it's a guy from New Jersey.
Hey, how you doing? If you're going to be late for a break, you come in with a gift.
That's right.
All right.
Okay. What can we do for you, sir?
I just wanted to tell you I love the show. I started listening to you guys about a month ago, and you guys make my drive home bearable from work.
Thank you. You're very nice. We appreciate it. Thank you. We will be in New York next Friday of next week. We're going to be at NAW.
Next Friday.
And I think we're going to do something. We're going to open the doors up and see if anybody actually listens to the show.
Cool. Very good.
If they want to come down to the studio for a little party.
Yeah, a little Friday party.
A little Friday party. Come down and see what Fez looks like. And and I think Jim Nance from CBS is coming by on Friday.
Uh-huh. Excellent.
So make a note, a week from Friday, actually it's Friday the 13th.
Most scary.
We'll be back in New York at WNEW. So you come on up and see us then, okay?
Great, will do.
All right, see ya.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Well, that wasn't a talent show call. Sorry, Buzz.
No, it's all right. Good call, nevertheless.
Let's get back to Buzz.
We told you yesterday about an accident on the set of The Sopranos in which one actor accidentally got hit in the head by another with a golf club.
Oh, my eye. Jesus, I can't see my eye. Yeah, you broke the socket.
Well, today, we're telling you about the same thing happening on the set of an upcoming Samuel L. Jackson movie. The Daily News says Jackson feels terrible about hitting a stunt man in the head with a 5-iron. It happened in Liverpool, where Jackson's filming a movie called The 51st State.
Hello.
Quoting a producer, they were going through a scene they'd done before and mismeasured the distance.
Oh, Mr. Jackson, you've knocked me in the noggin.
The swing left a 2-inch gash in the stuntman's head.
Gashy? Nice gash.
Requiring 3 stitches to close, the stuntman wanted to go right back to work, but the producer says we wouldn't let him.
Nice gashy.
Gashy.
Serious movie actor Tom Hanks seems to think we're all stupid for getting into the Survivor TV show.
Right.
Hanks,
what a pompous ass.
Hanks didn't watch it. He was away making a serious movie about a guy stranded on a deserted island.
Hey, and Tom, you don't look too stupid with that giant beard for that movie Castaway.
Now, he's whining about how he thinks the movie will be compared to the TV show and all the reviews.
Well, it won't be as good as the TV show.
A little insecure about your next project,
Tommy?
He tells November's Talk magazine he did see a clip of the show. Quoting Tom, it was this incredibly cheesy set with torches. It looked like the lobby of the Enchanted Tiki Room at Disneyland. And here was some guy pulling names out of a coconut. And I said, this is the thing that has made the American media stop in their tracks? This cheese fest?
Yeah, listen, Tom, hello, it's called entertainment.
Right.
Okay, it's called making a movie that's funny. Hey, Tom, try making a movie that doesn't exploit AIDS or World War II. When's the last time you made a movie that was really fall down, slap nuts, funny?
Don't you be slamming our Survivor.
Been a while. Hey, and Tom, I've got HBO, okay? I've seen You've Got Mail.
Yeah, you want to talk about a cheese fest?
Yeah. You, shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Hey, Tom, the band with one red shoe. Don't make me get out my Tom Hanks movieography.
Tom Yanks. Joe and the Volcano?
Joe and the Volcano.
Joe versus the Volcano.
That's right. Yeah. Awful.
That sucks. One of the big issues in Canada's biggest cities these days is breastfeeding in public.
I'm for it.
Activist groups are for it, too. They're trying to stop the discrimination against women who do that.
I'm for it.
What kind of discrimination? What are these people doing? I apparently they get chased out of stores and that sort of thing. It's happened a few times in this country.
Hey, good day, eh? Yeah, take you and your breasts out of here, eh?
So these activist groups are using subway and bus posters that show babies photographed mugshot style. The slogan reads, breastfeeding in public is not a crime. Another poster shows a baby suckling at his mother's breast. That caption reads, don't think of it as a woman's right to breastfeed. Think of it as a baby's right to eat.
Think of it as my idea to get a boner. Buzz, one more, please.
This is the one, man. We already knew that actress Elizabeth Hurley is a naughty girl, but at least half of us don't mind hearing it again.
Goddamn, she's hot, you know, and I'm really going to have to rate her high. I think one of these days we're going to have to re-rate the women of 2000. Now, last year we did 100.
Mm-hmm.
This year we're just going to rate the top 25 hottest women on the planet.
Good. That means we'll have time to linger over it.
Yeah, and Hurley would be
linger longer.
Definitely be a top 5 selection for me.
Hurley is a pretty girly.
I would agree.
In Marie Claire magazine, Hurley sings the praises of lust. Quoting her, a bit of lusting after someone does wonders for you and is good for your skin. She says she only got through high school chemistry class because of the boy who sat in front of her. She says she longed for the moments when she could brush past him on the way to the Bunsen burner or exchange lingering looks over a litmus test.
I would have a Bunsen burner for her. What do you call that?
Bunsen burner.
Yeah.
Bunsen
burner is the gay one. Named after Bronson Pinchot.
Burner? I hardly knew her. Thank you, Buzz. Who could be the Charles Bronson burner?
Hey, come on now. Your flame's ready.
Time for a call 100 right now. Please call Charlie Boyle. He's liked nothing more than answering the phones all day today while Lisa's been away for,
you know, the sick brother.
He's a 100th caller now. And we have a prize package selected especially for you.
All right.
Phone number 877-365-3636. Dial recklessly and sure the plot.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Please focus on the show.
God damn it.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Big talent show tomorrow. Lots of exciting acts coming by. We'll be giving away a $1,500 gift certificate.
Wow.
To the Sharper Image from the 15 days of 007 on TBS Superstation.
All right.
On Monday, giving away a trip or two to Los Angeles. Big trip. It's the CBS trip.
Uh-huh.
Oh, good. Go to see a CBS, but it's a fugitive. Friday night, 8 Eastern, 7 Central CBS. And Tuesday, we're giving away a trip to San Francisco.
Wow, we got prizes out the wazoo.
Don't miss Arrest and Trial, the new highly anticipated series airing tonight. It can't be tonight, right?
It's syndicated. Check your local listings.
Ah, thank you.
Channel.
Well, here in D.C., it's on some night at 10:30.
Okay.
Maybe tonight.
Maybe.
It's
all CBS stuff, huh?
I'm just reading the copy. Now, that was WB50.
Oh, WB50.
And the other one was TBS.
And tonight, of course, the West Wing premieres on NBC.
Yeah,
but 2 hours from now. I didn't get paid to say that.
And don't forget to go to www.jackieandleah.com.
Right.
Even if you don't buy the junky jewelry, at least go there.
Yeah, decide which one you like most.
Go on the website, so they get lots of hits today.
Yeah.
Thank you. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. In sports, if New York is Mudville, there is no joy there. The Mets just lost to the Giants 5-1. Also this afternoon, Seattle beat the White Sox 5-2. Another Mets note, outfielder Derek Bell had to leave New York's division playoff game against San Francisco in the third inning with an ankle injury. Bell slipped and fell on the outfield grass trying to field a hit by Barry Bonds.
If the Yankees lose again, they're done.
Yeah.
I mean, they're done. If they lose again...
They play again tonight, right?
Yeah, if they lose tonight, they're effed.
I think you might be right.
That's it.
If they lose tonight, it's 9 in a row. 9 games in a row.
Mm.
The Yankees.
Right.
What the hell is going on with that? Finally, I bet this never happened on your school bus in Newark, New Jersey. A school bus driver is facing criminal charges and unemployment. Gerald Carlson is accused of taking pictures of two teenagers having sex on his bus. And then, with their permission, joining in.
Oh, my God.
Authorities say they got involved after they got a tip that Carlson was showing people pictures of the hormonally hopped-up teenagers.
This burning, unquenchable desire.
Wow. I'm Buzz Burbank.
Here's the driver.
I'm quiet.
Don and Mike show.
Way to go, Gerald.
Thank you, Buzz.
You bet.
No!
Oh, yeah, that's it.
No!
That's it.
That's all that counts, for God's sake.
That's right.
Well, you're going to jail, Gerald.
You know, that bus driver will not shut up.
I said that bus driver will not shut up.
Whatever.
Nice attitude, Gerald.
Thanks for call 100.
Go out and take a look at it.
Okay, I will. Hello there. Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I am caller 100.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, what's your name?
Nathan.
Nathan, where are you from?
Sterling.
Nathan, could you work it up a little more?
Sterling, Virginia. How's that?
Hey, Nathan.
Yes, sir.
Guess what?
What?
Big loser. Hello, Don and Mike show.
I was trying to be caller 100.
I'm sorry. We're busting our ass here.
Yeah, absolutely. Give us a little something. You called us.
It's the last call of the day.
Yeah, Jason. Yeah, from Sterling. F you.
F you. Hey, what's your name?
My name is Jack.
Jack, where are you from?
Silver Spring.
Jack, you are the 100th caller.
Wonderful.
See, that's all we require. All the guy said is wonderful, that does it.
Mm-hmm.
Jack, you want to remember the Titans coach's jacket.
Oh, good.
Courtesy of AMC and Disney. You know what we've done now this week?
Mm-hmm.
We've stepped up from the rain jacket
to
the coach's jacket.
Oh, very cool.
And this is like the Letterman jacket. But...
Oh, neat. I like that.
Very nice. Remember the Titans, the number one movie in America now, showing check newspapers to theaters and Showtime. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
And thank you for being enthusiastic.
Enthusiastic.
Thank you very much. Enjoy the show.
Thanks. We appreciate it. Okay, we'll be back tomorrow. In studio talent show.
Hey,
all the great acts. You'll hear them all tomorrow on the show. Thank you. Good night, Buzz.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
Thank you. Good night, Mike.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
Get well, Lisa. And Rob.
I'm there.
Rob, trusted friend, throw your beret in here, just like Sydney. Tyler Moore.
You might be naked after all.
I
worked on it till I was tired and sore.
Like Wendell and Lucy Juicy.
All tired and sore.
We will see you tomorrow.
So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Till we meet again. Sandra Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Not any different from you or me. You know as well as I do.